vaccine. It's not easy work, and it's not inexpensive. Let's not let this be our legacy for our children. Call 1-800-39-AMFAR. In the fight against AIDS, we've bought time. More research will buy answers. So please call 1-800-39-AMFAR. Thank you.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York, the home of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Mark Shearer. Thomas Hamill is out of Iraq and heading home. The truck driver kidnapped 3 weeks ago escaped from his Iraqi captors Sunday by prying open a door at a house where he was being held. Hamill is going to go first to a military hospital in Germany, where he'll be examined and have a reunion with his wife from Macon, Mississippi. Hamill was a truck driver employed by a subsidiary of the Halliburton Company. A Western engineering firm is evacuating its foreign staff from Yanbu, Saudi Arabia, following the weekend attack that killed five of their colleagues. Among those killed were the three top officials of a project being carried out by a Swiss-based firm jointly owned by U.S. ExxonMobil and a Saudi company. The Iraqi general put in charge of the brigade taking over security in Fallujah. Well, his credentials are getting a second look. Questions are being raised about that general's conduct when his commander-in-chief was Saddam Hussein. General Richard Myers addressed the problem on CBS's Face the Nation Sunday.
There are people that know his record, know what he's done in the previous Saddam Hussein regime, and they're going to have to find an appropriate role, if a role at all, for him. There are other generals, another general that they're looking at as well at this point, and we'll let Baghdad do that process. Obviously, it's not going to be in anybody's best interest to put somebody who was connected to the former regime and atrocities to put him in charge out there. That's not the kind of partnership we're looking for.
The Army report that uncovered alleged abuse of Iraqi prisoners focuses on two military intelligence officers and two civilian contractors for the Army. That's according to the New York Times today. The four are identified as either directly or indirectly responsible for the abuses at the Abu Ghraib prison. American officials are putting the finishing touches on a new plan for democratic reform in the Middle East. That's according to a report in today's LA Times. An earlier effort met with criticism, largely over the Bush administration's failure to consult with Middle Eastern nations. Now the government is completing a retooled plan with more input from the Muslim world to show that the U.S. does not want to unilaterally force reform. A former vice president says our current one is doing things differently, and that may not be good. Former Vice President Walter Mondale says Dick Cheney's rule may be too strong, and it's starting to bend the political process, in his words. Mondale, who served under Jimmy Carter and lost to Ronald Reagan in the 1984 election, says Carter and most other presidents wouldn't tolerate a vice president being as outspoken as Cheney. No response yet from Cheney's office. Heads up, computer users, another worm is causing alarm. It's called the Sasser virus. Experts at one virus-fighting firm say they've received 2,900 reports on it from around the world. Sasser can cause systems to crash, but it doesn't appear to do serious damage. However, as the business day begins in the U.S. and everybody boots up, they'll be watching closely to see what the impact of the Sasser virus will be. This is Air America Radio News. I'm Mark Shearer.
I went to the doctor. They told me that my heart was enlarged. I couldn't even walk 10 feet without having to sit down. I was scared. I knew I was in trouble at that point, but I really am this sick, and I really do need this heart to continue to live.
At 29 years old, a heart transplant saved Tracy's life.
Today, I just feel like a normal person again. I can play and wrestle with my son, go outside, blow bubbles, anything else a young mom would want to do with their child.
Tracy not only got her life back, she was able to have a beautiful baby boy named Trent, all because someone like you decided to be an organ and tissue donor.
Just look at our family. Trent was not supposed to be in our lives, and now he's here. We're living proof that organ and tissue donation works.
You have the power to donate life. Be an organ and tissue donor. To find out how, go today to www.donatelife.net.
Hi, this is Emily Richards for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. One person's negligence shattered my life in a single instant. You see, my little sister Annie was killed by a drunk driver. Please remember those you love. Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
We would go from venue to venue across the southern United States and travel in a van that ran both on biodiesel gas and also on straight French fry grease.
That's singer-songwriter Rachel Garland from Berkeley, California, singing the praises of touring on biodiesel.
Our objective was to spread the word that there are alternatives to petroleum.
Garland admits that people are overwhelmed when facing our eco problems, but grassroots education is key.
These local solutions will serve to inspire and activate us and energize us so that we can continue to spread these local solutions until they become global solutions.
Fill her up with alternative fuel online at
www.rachelgarland.com.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Circle of Life and We the Planet. www.circleoflife.org, where consciousness is cool.
Unfiltered.
When the Dalai Lama passed through the United States, he went to Minnesota. And so the governor, Jesse Ventura, had to meet the Dalai Lama. And the question he asked the Dalai Lama, have you ever seen the movie Caddyshack? That's what he asked him.
Liz Winstead, Chuck D., and Rachel Maddow.
So
I'm not even going to ask what the answer was, although you know I'm dying.
Reconsider your third-party candidates, people.
Air America's Unfiltered. Weekdays 9 to noon on Air America Radio.
Hey, I'm Mark Maron with Stu Ellicott and Mark Riley here on Air America Radio. It's 6 minutes past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Today, we've got the liberal agenda coming up this hour. Plus, President Bush knocks him dead at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. That's coming up. We've got a voluntary astronaut. We've got a CIA agent. Man, we've got a big day ahead. Big day. Big Monday. Right now, I'm joined by Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. Good morning to you guys. Welcome to Monday. It's the beginning of the work week in these end times. So I hope you have a good...
We're in end times already?
What, are you kidding? We've been in end times for the last 50 years.
Wow.
So, you know, like this
I
weekend...
I guess I missed the memo.
You, really? You did?
Yeah, my life isn't that bad.
Try watching the news.
I do. But you know what? You know, it's not, we're not, you know, our own lives are not that bad, Mark. It's Monday. Let's not get so depressed. We've got 5 days of this to get through.
I am rejoicing in the end times. I don't know where you're getting depression out of me. The party has begun. The chaos is unfurling. Anarchy is loosed upon the world. It is time to party.
Okay, Mr. Manson.
Yeah, all right.
Right behind.
Right on, man. It's all about me. Yeah, I tried to, like, this weekend, it was one of those weekends where it's like, you know what, man, I'm gonna do some stuff so I can, you know, go in and talk about some stuff. I'm going to do some cultural things, maybe hit a museum, a movie. And I'll tell you, on Friday, those were all good ideas I had.
And then you just napped the weekend away, right?
Well, I didn't nap it away. It just sort of trickled past. I don't know what I did.
It's called relaxing.
Yeah, that is what it's called. I think that I've spent so many years doing stand-up and not thinking that I ever had a real job or deserved to take a vacation or relax. Whereas, like, with this job on Friday, I'm like, I'm going to take it easy.
Yeah, but you
easy.
Know what happens? By what? Sunday, about maybe 1:30, 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
That's when the hate sets in.
That's when you start looking and saying, wait a minute, man, I only got, you know, 5 hours left before I have to go to bed to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning.
I know, on Sunday, I become like a school child. It's like, can I stay up a little longer? And it's sad when I'm saying that, because I'm by myself, man. I'm by myself just saying that to the air, like, come on, Mom, half an hour more. I want to watch 60 Minutes.
Did you?
No, I didn't. I didn't. You know what?
Self-discipline this guy has.
I went to bed at, like, I don't want to start talking about bed because that's not what I want to talk about right now. We are up and we have a great show ahead of us. There's a lot of disturbing news. There's a lot of exciting things going on. Again, the world is ending, but that's no reason to have a bad Monday.
I agree.
That's okay. What I say. So what do you got, Riley?
Well, you know, it's been an ugly weekend. In terms of the war in Iraq and developments in Iraq, 11 more U.S. servicemen have been killed over the weekend, and the furor over allegations of torture and sexual abuse against U.S. and British soldiers is gathering steam. At the same time, the former Iraqi general put in charge of a new military force in Fallujah is basically gone before he gets started.
What happened? He just he said, I can't do this, or they took him out? Or?
No.
You mean the Iraqi guy?
Yeah, the Iraqi guy. He said, look, there are no foreign fighters in Fallujah. I don't know what you're talking about. And then the American military said, well, if you don't know what we're talking about, you can't lead this force.
You're the wrong guy.
You're the wrong person. You're not hewing to the American, quote, military objective.
And they got another guy in mind?
I'm not sure about that. They're putting this guy in a back battalion or something. But,
I thought they were doing a big background check on someone.
A big background check on an Iraqi general.
Yeah,
they didn't do that
yet? An alternative to the guy that they had.
There's one going on at the moment. Hey, look, they may be doing it too late, but hey, they're doing it.
Yeah, if he owes anything on his Citibank card, he's not the guy.
Well, there is good news, and that is that American hostage Thomas Hamill from Mississippi, who had been held for 3 weeks, managed to escape his captors and find some American soldiers. Who, after they verified who he was, he's now safe.
It's unbelievable, you know, and no matter what you have against Halliburton or the U.S. occupation of Iraq or anything, that when you hear, like, one of these, you know, small heroic stories, like can you imagine being held hostage, I mean, in a real way, not just by your wife? You know, can you imagine being, you know, held hostage and, like, just sitting there for days and days, not wondering whether you're going to live or die, and then to get out and to break free, just to wander through the Iraqi desert till you found Americans? I mean, that's amazing.
Especially because that was his second time. He already got out once, and, in fact, he was looking for American troops, couldn't find any.
And went back?
No, it was he didn't volunteer. He was recaptured. But when he got out this time and was found by American soldiers, then they rescued him. But interesting, if you have a look at the Al Jazeera website today, there's all this speculation that a deal was maybe done, that Hamill was in fact handed over in return for giving back Fallujah and kind of backing off in Fallujah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a truism or is that a conspiracy?
It's a conspiracy. I'm just giving it to you, Mark, because I know that you love them.
I
was going to say, that's not prone to conspiracy. I like the angle.
Those kind of stories have happened before.
The thought of, like, a guy, like, you just planted something in my head, though, before when he had escaped once, and the idea that, like, he couldn't find any Americans, and him going back to the Iraqis going, oh, no, I guess I'll hang out until, I don't know. But that didn't happen.
No. Nice try. No.
And apparently he got to the U.S. troops, and the U.S., managed to lead the American troops back to the place where he was kept.
And?
And they surrounded, there was nobody there, apparently.
Because when he left, they're like, we better get out of here because he's going to bring his friends back.
And, I guess. And remember, too, that he was the only member, if memory serves, of his convoy who lived through that initial attack 3 weeks
ago. I can't even, like, you know, I can get pretty glib sometimes, and I don't want to be glib in the face of, you know, like, true heroism or real horror. You know, though sometimes I have to, but this is one of those stories.
Sometimes you have to.
Yeah, you absolutely have to. Okay. If I didn't have a sense of humor in the face of horror, you know, I would be paralyzed with fear and never leave my apartment. Because half of the horror is in my mind and the other half is out in the world.
Out in the world.
It's real. But this guy really pulled it off. I mean, this is, like, I'm sure, you know, the TV movie negotiations have begun.
Oh, you think so?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you probably.
I just hope that they first of all debrief him and get some decent intelligence and perhaps some details about who was behind the kidnapping. They seem not to have very reliable on the ground information.
Really? Even after all that torture, they have no information.
Actually, we need to mention a bit more about the torture.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that really has overshadowed all the developments in Iraq this past weekend. Numerous allegations of abuse. At least a half dozen American soldiers allegedly involved. And this, of course, is at the Abu Ghraib prison, which is near Baghdad. Seymour Hersh's New Yorker article, which I believe comes out today, details a 53-page investigative report on allegations of torture. That report was completed back in March. It says the abuse was the result of systemic problems. On the other hand, General Richard Myers, chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, says the abuse is an exception, not the rule, but when pressed, he kind of backed up off of that just a little
bit. Is that just a few bad apples theory?
Yeah, just a few bad apples. However, President Bush condemned the abuse and says that it is out of character.
I didn't like it one bit. But I also want to remind people that those few people who did that do not reflect the nature of the men and women we sent overseas.
So articulate and comforting.
Yeah.
They need to be careful on that, though. I mean, and I was in Europe at the weekend. I went back to London, and the papers there are absolutely full of how the Bush administration did not come down hard enough on these things immediately. I mean, that was, you know, a tougher statement, believe it or not. I don't like these one bit. These pictures were around on Friday in the papers and on Saturday in Europe. And they launched an immediate investigation. And the
of the British troops that were...
Of the British troops.
Yes.
And it's taken the Americans longer to come up with, you know, some sort of formal kind of investigation procedure.
They have two.
Well, the British troops...
They have two underway already.
Right.
Right, but this was... But it was immediate. It was on Friday.
Wasn't it just one incident?
I think the first investigation the Americans announced was also Friday, I think.
But in the British... was there one incident that was in question, that where they beat up an Iraqi guy, and
there was one where there were allegations again of pictures,
and they urinated on him.
That
one?
That was
yes. But there's a stronger movement over there to question whether some of these photographs have been doctored to see whether they are fake. I haven't seen that kind of the same sort of concern or outrage, but people are furious, and the way that it's being portrayed in the European media is that these photographs are a catastrophe. They're a catastrophe for the American administration, for their public relations that's forcing the British military to refuse even more Tony Blair's orders or pushes to try and get more troops to go into Iraq. They're saying, you know, we don't want to do anything more.
Well, I think that it's a catastrophe on a lot of levels because, you know, the Arab population is so sensitive to the symbolism of this stuff that they, because there's so little American media that really gets in to Arab countries, that when they see something like this, as specific as this, and the reaction to it is going to be just catastrophic in terms of against Americans. And what kind of, you know, this is the one thing I don't understand. You know, it's been, you know, we assume on some level that torture goes on in warfare. You know, we just do. We don't assume that, you know, that. What were these guys thinking taking pictures? These guys were all reservists, right? So this is sort of that weekend warrior mentality, like, let's party!
Yeah, you know, I don't know what...
But did you see those pictures? They're like, woo! All right. Was there alcohol involved in this situation? No one has come up with that.
Nobody's come up with that. They've got these investigations ongoing. Hopefully they will. But this was a problem months ago.
It's just heinous to see that the people were just, you know, this woman and this guy in these pictures were just grinning and like, you know, like it was like some sort of frat party. And it was kind of heinous and nauseating. And I look at, you know, a lot of pretty nauseating things on a day-to-day basis on the Internet.
We'll save you from giving details. But it does speak to the complete breakdown in the command structure in Iraq that
Absolutely.
This was even allowed to happen.
Still ahead, our exclusive peek inside the President's Day Planner. Plus, we'll talk to a multimillionaire who shelled out big bucks to go to space. Huh? Right here on Air America Radio.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep, the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You'll also get a free Better Sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
Today at 5, Channel 7 Eyewitness News just found a drastic new way to treat earaches in kids. Don't! Parents, you gotta be all ears for this. Plus at 5, Eyewitness News shows you where to find the freshest flowers for Mother's Day. Plus at 6, how to get a free education for a new job. The city pays for it, no strings attached. Eyewitness News uncovers a golden opportunity most people don't even know about. It all starts with Diana Williams, Chante Veteranois, and Sam Champion with AccuWeather. Today at 5, only on ABC 7.
An all-new Oprah, an exclusive, Brad Pitt.
rarely a week goes by, you know, where you are not into cowboys.
Please bring Ben and J-Lo back.
You know I adore your wife.
That fire we all crowd around to warm.
What's going to happen when you have babies? I read that you would love having all girls.
I like girls. Who wouldn't want to spend the hour with Brad? Next Oprah.
Today at 4, only on ABC 7, followed by Eyewitness News at 5.
Planet check. Clear skies, healthy forests. Don't believe the hype.
Clear skies. They use rhetoric that resonates with people, but the reality of their environmental programs is dirty air, dirty water.
That's Carol Browner, former EPA administrator under Clinton.
The current administration has been very successful in dressing up and spinning their terrible record on the environment. Environment 2004 is a group of committed environmentalists who want to make sure that voters across the country, swing voters, know exactly what the Bush administration is doing in terms of clean air, clean water, how they are failing to enforce our environmental laws.
Environment 2004's mission? Educate voters on the facts and emphasize the critical importance of this presidential election.
Please visit our website, environment2004.org.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Circle of Life and We the Planet. www.circleoflife.org, where consciousness is cool.
Good morning. It's 20 past the hour, and it's Mark Maron here with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley on Morning Sedition here on Air America Radio. Happy Monday to you. As heavy it as all is, as it all is, we're gonna, you know, at least, you know, have some fun with the president a little bit. Today is our, it's time for our exclusive look into the presidential day planner for Monday, May 3rd. We take this right off of WhiteHouse.gov. 8 a.m., wake up. Escort National Security Advisor to Taxi Cab 1. 8:07, curse our forbidden love. 10 a.m., strategy meeting with Karl Rove. Topic, what else can we blame on Clinton? 11 p.m., prepare for bus trip to Mideast. Call shotgun. 2 p.m., prep for photo op. Practice helpless down-home stutter. 6 p.m., stay on message. Flip-flopper, blah, 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 terror alert, blah, blah, blah. I didn't do it. 9 p.m., shred embarrassing documents, national security memos, planning reports, high school transcripts. High school. What is the flashing light? It's making me nervous. We got a flashing light in the studio, and I just don't know what it means in relation to anything. 1 a.m., invoke executive privilege, review torture photos from Iraq. 1:03 a.m., fall into deep, untroubled sleep. That's the presidential day planner. Why is that thing blinking, Chris?
It might be under nuclear attack, Mark. It's just for you.
No, you joke, right? You know, aren't you the one that got stuck in the elevator today and nobody came to get you?
I did. I rang the button between the 40th and 41st floor at 12:30 at night for 20 minutes and thinking finally, okay, I'm claustrophobic and I'm afraid of heights.
So you got
and
no
I'm
problem?
I'm in the elevator on the 40 and a half floor. And my cell phone doesn't work, but I do have a snack in my rucksack left from my overnight flight from London.
And that doesn't bother you, the flashing white light? Well,
no,
right now,
I figure it's for you.
You know what? I think we're all going to be able to leave, you know, after we talk to this next guest. New Jersey millionaire Greg Olson paid $20 million for his dream vacation, 8 days in space, including a ticket to the International Space Station. Now, today there were hearings. They're going to be on today that the president's, you know, about the president's proposed Mars mission. But, you know, Greg's not going to Mars. He's going to be the third private citizen to travel in space. The company, Space Adventures, will help send him into orbit on a Russian rocket. He joins us now from London. Greg, are you there?
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, sir?
Just great.
Now, $20 million, that's a lot of money. Why spend it on a space trip?
Yep.
Why?
Well, you know, I thought about it a lot. I didn't just make a snap decision on that, but, you know, I concluded that, you know, for the experience and the ability to do science up in space and then to come back and tell people, especially youngsters that go into math and science, I thought it was a worthwhile investment for me to make.
Oh, so really, are you trained in any sort of scientific field of
inquiry? Oh, yes, I'm a research scientist with semiconductor electronics, lasers and photodetectors, all that good stuff.
So let's be honest, are you just going to go up because it's fun to go fast?
That's one third of it.
I can't even imagine being at the top of a rocket, man. I mean, you're the third guy going up, though. Does that make you? What are you going to do that they didn't do? Did you guys share notes? Did you call those other two guys?
Sure. Yeah, I've spoken to both of them. We all have our own programs. With me, I want to do some research related to my company, Sensors Unlimited. We have an infrared camera, so I want to stare at the Earth and take as much infrared data as I can.
I sense the plug that you just did for your company.
Oh, it definitely is. That's the other third of the mission. And the last third is, I think, the most important, just the educational value. I'm going to contact as many schools as I can, especially inner city like Trenton, New Jersey, and the Crow Nation out in Montana, Brooklyn, New York, my hometown.
Wow.
And really get these kids going at, hey, I'm an average guy that came from modest means, and you can do it too.
You can pay $20 million and go into space as well if you get that far.
No, but you can get there.
Well, I think it's a very pressing issue that, you know, the whole space travel thing, because it's becoming clear to me that we might have to leave soon.
But it would be nice to have the option.
Yeah. We're talking to Greg Olson, a millionaire space explorer.
Greg Olson, you're training in Russia, are you?
Yes. I've been there for a month right now.
What are you doing for food?
It's solid food. It's kind of like a combination of being back in a college dorm and a military base.
That was a plus for the food?
Yeah.
This is the best soup and bread I've ever had in my life.
Really? What kind of soup? They got borscht and pork soup?
Borscht and just good vegetable soups. It's nice and hot, and it's been cooked a long time. It's not instant stuff. The bread is to die for. You know, I'd go out and say it's the best bread in the world.
Really?
And you put some butter on that and you eat it with soup, and I could have three meals.
Are they
going
to be able
that.
To set you up with something to take up into space with you? It seems like you're pretty attached to it.
Oh, I hope so. Well, we do have bread as part of our rations, but the bread is cut into little pieces. They look like pellets that you feed your dog.
Pellet bread. I've eaten that.
Crumbs. They're called crumbs.
That's exactly right. That's why it is. It's so you won't break the bread in air and cause crumbs.
You're bringing someone else up there with you? Is that what you're saying? You're saying we? How many people are going up?
Just me.
You're going up alone?
No, I'll have two. There'll be a Russian commander and an American flight engineer, and I don't believe they've named the crew yet.
So are they there just in case you freak out?
No, they're all of the mission.
Okay, so you're just going to be the guy in the back, you know, playing with semiconductors. They're actually going to drive the craft.
Oh, that's correct. But I have to know the whole craft, and that's what I'm learning over in Star City.
But will they be there for you if you start freaking out? Like, why'd I do this? Are we okay? Are we okay? What's that blinking white light in the studio?
I assume they'll take care of me, but I don't anticipate that happening.
Do you have a direct line to your mom if you need it?
No, but I hope to with my two daughters.
Oh, good. All right. Well, just as long as you're taken care of on the support level.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's it.
I'm curious. Greg, what will constitute success? I mean, you're putting down $20 million. That's a lot of money to get your name out there for the name of your company. What will constitute success?
It's having the experience of being in space. All right. And again, that includes the gee whiz wow part. It includes the research we're going to do with the camera, and it includes the education. I mean, I view it that I have an obligation when I come back to go out and speak to a lot of student groups and share the opportunity.
Aren't you afraid it's going to ruin everything for you? Like, you know, anything you do in your life from here on out will be like, yeah, but I was in space.
No, it's a life-changing experience.
Oh, yeah. I actually think a comic does a bit about that, yeah.
Greg, last month, the FAA's Office of Commercial Space Transportation issued a license for commercial space travel.
Yes.
How far away do you think we are from average people who can't afford $20 million actually to be going into space?
I think it's closer, you know, I'd hate to put a time on, but I think it's closer than any of us think, because Space Adventures has a number, they have about 6 to 10 people behind me that are seriously interested in doing this, and as you know, the more numbers there are, the price will come down.
Thanks a lot, Greg Olson. $20 million going to space. Have a great time.
Right.
Maybe we'll talk to you when you come back.
Absolutely. Coming up, we're doing the liberal agenda a little early today, so get your pencils ready. Plus, Bush yucks it up. Straight ahead here on Air America Radio.
An OnStar conversation, January 12th, 2004.
OnStar Center, this is Barbara.
Barbara, I locked my keys in my car. My dog is in there.
Which vehicle is it that you need to get back into?
The 04 Yukon Denali.
Do you have your OnStar account number?
547.
When you've got precious cargo, it's good to know that OnStar can unlock your doors in most cases.
We should get it unlocked momentarily. What kind of dog do we have inside the vehicle?
It's a schnauzer.
All right. And your vehicle doors are now unlocked for you.
They are. You guys are fantastic. You're the best. You're the best. There is nothing like OnStar.
Well, thank you very much. We love hearing that.
You guys are unbelievable. I mean, in 2 seconds, it was done like that. I'm so happy.
I'm so glad that worked out for you. And how's our schnauzer?
He's okay. He's happy, too. Maybe we'll bring him to meet you. That's it.
Many GMC trucks and SUVs are among the 51 GM models available with OnStar. To learn more, visit your GMC dealer or GMC.com. OnStar. Always there. Always ready.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Mark Shearer. The truck driver kidnapped in Iraq 3 weeks ago is on his way home. Thomas Hamill escaped Sunday. His wife from Macon, Georgia, is on her way to meet him in Germany, where he'll be treated for a gunshot wound. American officials are taking a closer look at the Iraqi general they put in charge of the brigade looking after the city of Fallujah. One report says it's now likely they'll remove him from the post because of his record under Saddam Hussein and replace him with another of Hussein's former officers. Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon says he won't resign, despite the fact his party voted to reject his plan to withdraw from Gaza. President Bush is riding the bus today. He's going to be campaigning in the key states of Ohio and Michigan today and tomorrow. He'll be aboard a bus decorated with the slogan, "Yes, America Can." Is John Kerry an old-fashioned Massachusetts liberal or business-friendly moderate? Kerry has told the Wall Street Journal he is the latter. This is Air America Radio News.
I was born completely healthy, but when I was 10 months old, I caught a virus that attacked my heart.
Lacey wouldn't have lived without a heart transplant. Today, she is a normal, healthy teenager.
That heart transplant saved my life. Now, I'm 14, and I'm just starting high school. Some of the things I like to do are volleyball, basketball, drumming, snowboarding, dancing. I can't stand sitting around. My philosophy is to never waste a minute because of this wonderful gift I've gotten.
Lacey is one of hundreds of thousands of people who've been given the chance to live because someone else chose to be an organ and tissue donor.
I don't think about my transplant that often, but if I didn't have it, I wouldn't be here right now. My parents don't treat me any differently. They just treat me like a normal kid, because I am.
You have the power to donate life. Be an organ and tissue donor. To find out how, go today to www.donatelife.net.
Looking to do something good? Well, there's lots teenagers can do, like saving the rare speckled Burmese bear cub.
Isn't he cute? Okay, and
be careful, Susie. That's don't feed him. Wow, that's gotta hurt.
Or how about just saving something closer to home, like your neighborhood? Tutor, mentor, volunteer. Help change your community and change the way the world sees you. Click on beprevent.org or call 1-800-722-TEENS.
A message from Corrupt U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, and the Ad Council.
The Majority Report.
Speaking of how many members of the media are whores.
You're not supposed to say that anymore, and we actually had an actual prostitute write us a letter about that.
Yeah, no, a prostitute wrote a letter and said, please don't call them prostitutes.
Janine Garofalo and Sam Cedar.
Oh, right, because it's offensive to
prostitutes. And I am incorrect when I call them prostitutes because they don't get money for sex. They get money to lie to the American public.
Air America's Majority Report. Weeknights 8 to 11 on Air America Radio.
Monday morning, here on Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. I'm Mark Maron with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley. It's actually getting good. Monday morning is getting good. Had a pretty exciting discussion with a guy who spent $20 million to go into outer space. I don't know how that's relative to anything, but we had a good conversation.
And now we know he's going to miss the soup and bread he's been feeding on in Russia.
Well, I'd like to try some Russian food. And also, there is a comic I just remembered that does a bit about an astronaut coming back from space. I think it was Brian Regan, very funny guy, did a bit about that, about how nothing will ever live up to being in space. And actually, I think the Jack Nicholson in The Terms of Endearment actually covered some of that. I don't even know why I'm rambling on about that. Now, George Bush was at the White House Correspondents' Dinner the other night, kicking out some jokes, which I find annoying.
Spreading the funny.
I just find it annoying that, you know, he is able to deflect criticism and mock himself because nobody expects anything better from him, really. That, you know, he's sort of personified the doofus president so well that when he, you know, is, you know, taken to task for anything, he can just sort of, you know, doofus himself. And these jokes are really, you know, sort of the attempts of, like, the smart doofus. This is the smart doofus side of our doofus president. Let's hear him, Chris.
I was going to start off tonight telling some self-deprecating jokes. But then I couldn't think of any mistakes I had made to be self-deprecating about.
All right, let's hold it and hold save the other one. Let's talk about that right there. This is a guy that clearly has made mistakes, but refuses to admit making mistakes, refuses to go to military funerals. And, you know, this is like on, you know, Iraq is falling apart, and he's mocking his inability to apologize. Isn't that heinous on some level?
He's mocking his ability to perform at the televised press conference back a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, presidents and their wives and even candidates, this is how they use humor. That they hire speechwriters and they have comic writers whose sole goal is to make people like them more
right.
by laughing at the things that we've already criticized. And in terms of that, it was actually a pretty successful joke. Even allowing for the amount of alcohol people are drinking at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, it got a good laugh.
Yeah, I think they are well-written jokes, but I find it so unnerving that this guy, who is, you know, he's not as witty as this joke is, and I think that one of the liabilities of his presidency is his inability to, you know, admit mistakes or apologize for anything, because I think just on a human level, if he's really a Christian, if he's really somebody who is acting for God and really somebody who considers himself a follower of Jesus Christ, the inability to apologize and the inability to admit mistakes is completely egotistical and not within the realms of that type of behavior.
But that's about sinning, admitting mistakes. That's about, you know, personal failings. And he doesn't think that he's made a mistake on Iraq. And there are signs that the American people think that he shows great resolve and that by hanging in there, they like the fact that he comes across as strong.
But I don't think that's all the American people. And do you think he's made a mistake with Iraq?
Absolutely.
So, I mean, so there's plenty of people that think
that. I was completely against the war and his going in and Britain being involved and anybody else. I was completely anti-war on the grounds that they gave. Absolutely. So, and they've messed it up. But
why can't I assess him as being belligerent, you know, and being, you know, sort of like he has, you know, sinned on some level. I mean, clearly. I mean, he's you know, party to, you know, multiple murders. But he can't see that side of it, which is my criticism.
I don't think that he, in his relationship to his God, that he feels that he has failed. He might, I don't know what goes on in George Bush's prayers, but I think that he is not, if it's any kind of, you know, confessional mode or sense of not measuring up to God's expectations of him, I don't think he's failed that. He thinks he's failed that.
Yeah, but I mean, even with the anniversary of his speech on the boat, and even with, you know, all that's going on right now with the torture and also with, you know, Fallujah, that, you know, this guy, you know, he claims to have all this humility and human dignity and strength, but, you know, he doesn't have the ability to maybe sort of start negotiating on a human level, you know, with these people and with the ideas that, you know, things aren't going well. He refuses to acknowledge it.
Well, what strikes me about the attempt at self-deprecating humor is contrasting it with the way he's going after John Kerry. The way he is trying to cast Kerry as almost this non-patriot, I don't care whether he's got shrapnel on him or not, he's an unpatriotic guy who's, Cheney came out and said he was unfit to be president, and yet here's this guy who's trying to pawn himself off, never mind as a wartime president, but as a guy who can connect with people who are sending their kids, for example, off to be killed inside Iraq. And that kind of self-deprecating humor and the whole reference, and I think that we'll hear this in a moment, the whole reference to some of the books that have been written about him, all of that is an attempt, I think, on his part to connect with this audience and to reinforce with this audience that, you know, I'm going to continue and try and see this through, right or wrong, I'm going to see it through.
But if you have to look at the context, I mean, the Washington Correspondents' Dinner is kind of very lighthearted. It's a kind of somewhat fawning over the president, whether or not you agree with his politics. It's about dressing up. It's about inviting guests. It's actually quite a dull event, but it's one of the big sort of pseudo-celebrity events of the Washington establishment each year. And, you know, Bush knows that he is vilified widely by many people in the media. They gave an award to Mike Allen of the Washington Post, a $1,000 Merriman Smith Award for outstanding presidential coverage for Deadline writing for Allen's coverage of Bush's secret Thanksgiving trip to Iraq. Now, he was the only reporter on that trip.
So he's working for the president.
Well, I mean,
so.
My view is if someone gave me that for reporting on something that the Bush administration had done, I would just say no thanks, or I would make it, if I accepted the award, I would give the money to charity. It shows the extent to which that correspondents want to be acknowledged, recognized, sort of patted on the back by the presidency.
And literally, there, he
it's
said
very
this,
compromised.
Yeah, he said this generation of wartime journalists, I'm quoting the president, has done fine work and much more, and they will be remembered long after the first draft of history is completed.
That's just for the code.
But what does that mean? Because they helped write the history from the point of view of the president? I mean, a lot of these guys just, you know, are, like you said, they're, if they're not complacent, they're completely kissing up to whoever's in power in order to, you know, promote his ideals, except for people like Cy Hirsch and people who really do the work. We have another soundbite that you referred to, and I want to make sure we get it out there about an, it's another joke that he did. Can we hear it, Chris?
You've heard some of the titles, Big Lies. The Lies of George W. Bush.
We missed the setup of this joke.
He's referring
lies
to the books that written about
liars
him.
Lies who tell them. I'd like to tell you I've read each of these books, but that'd be a lie.
But you know, these soundbites, they play well to the American people because his timing is fine. They're quite simple jokes. They're easily understandable. And they go, hey, you know, it... For people who like
to some
Bush,
of them, to not me, to not me.
Yes, but there's nothing George Bush could do. He could do cartwheels in space and you still wouldn't like
yeah,
him.
Yeah, but there's plenty of Americans that feel the same way, I think. We've got the liberal agenda up ahead and we'll take your calls at 866-303-AAR0. That's 866-303-2270. You can email us at sedition@airamerica.com. We'll put you on the line right here on Air America.
Your lawn is being taken over by dandelions and crabgrass.
Help!
With Weed Be Gone, one product gets rid of the dandelions.
But not the crabgrass.
The other kills the crabgrass.
But not the lawn weeds. There's gotta be a better way.
There is. Bayer Advanced All-in-One Weed Killer. It kills lawn weeds plus crabgrass in just one easy step, and it won't harm your lawn.
Two kinds of weeds, one simple solution.
Bayer Advanced. Better thinking, better results. Available at Lowe's and other garden retailers.
Planet change. I think the biggest threat to the environment is the idea that now, and what I mean now, this moment in time is all there is.
That's singer, songwriter, and activist Michael Franti from the band Spearhead.
The caretakers of this continent before Europeans came here had a very clear vision. They said, we are here to take care of this land for the seven generations of people before us.
Part of the solution. Are we part of the pollution?
And I think there has to be an accountability and a mindset that every person in this planet has, that each of us is responsible for what we produce and what we put out into the world.
Franti says there has to be a shift in our thinking.
And that shift has to be that we have to think about the seven generations to come.
That's Michael Franti on Planet Check.
Planet Check, your daily one-minute terrestrial examination.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Circle of Life and We the Planet. www.circleoflife.org, where consciousness is cool.
Hello, this is Della Reese, and I'd like for you to meet Faith in Action. Faith in Action means that people keep their independence. How? By getting help from volunteers. People of different faiths who shop, cook, drive, or just check in on some of the millions of Americans with long-term health care needs. If you're like me and have wondered how you can make a difference, volunteer with Faith in Action. They know how to use your time and talents right in your community. Even just a few hours can make a world of difference. A neighbor's independence depends on you and me. Faith in Action. Try it. Find out how good it feels at faithinaction.org or toll free 1-877-FAITH-11. That's faithinaction.org or toll free
1-877-FAITH-11.
Daddy, why is the sky blue?
To match your pretty eyes.
Nope. See, all colors have wavelengths that are diffused by oxygen and nitrogen. Since blue has the shortest wavelength, it's diffused up to 10 times more.
Who taught you that?
Mommy?
By sixth grade, too many girls lose interest in math and science, which they'll need for most future jobs. Keep her interest alive. For ideas, go to girlsgotech.org. It's her future. Do the math. A public service message brought to you by Girl Scouts of the USA and the Ad Council.
Mark Maron here with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley on Morning Sedition here on Air America Radio, 44 past the hour. We're taking your calls, 866-303-AARO. That's 866-303-2270. You can email us at sedition@airamericaradio.com. We want to talk about Bush's sense of humor and also his ability to deflect criticism with it, and how do we get past that? We'd like to talk to Chris. Chris, are you there? Chris in Los Angeles?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, what's up, Chris?
Well, I really think that it's pretty disappointing, and it's a bad reflection on the entire United States that so many people are interested in jokes and sound bites rather than whether or not our own president can tie his own shoes politically. I mean,
I agree
George
with you.
Bush is a horrible president. He wasn't elected. And regardless of whether or not we should have gone to Iraq in the first place, we handled it very badly. This is a second Vietnam, only with sand instead of jungle.
So how do you think we should change it, Chris?
Well, for one thing, we need to get somebody in there who hasn't ticked off the entire world community so that we can get some help.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Thank you very much for your call, Chris. I think that's absolutely the case. See, there are definitely plenty of people out there that, like with his jokes, I cannot stand the arrogance of it. And I'm a comedian. I just cannot stand George Bush's arrogance. Mike in Long Island. Mike, are you there?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, I sure can, Mike.
Okay. I think that people who are pro-Bush, no matter what is said, they're going to stick with him. And a good example of that is, last night I was watching C-SPAN. They reran Cheney at Westminster.
Right.
And he's spewing out all these lies. And anybody who's pro-Bush, they're not going to check into whether they're true or not or what he's saying.
Is that unbelievable?
For what he's saying. And then right after Cheney was on, they replayed Kerry at Westminster.
That's right, because he was speaking there on Friday, right?
He
accepted their invitation to follow up Cheney.
The rebuttal.
Exactly.
Well, the weird thing is what you're saying is basically that even in the face of truth, these guys, the right and people who believe in Bush, well, even if you have truth, if you say, look, this just happened, we got pictures, we got documents, we've got everything to prove that this just happened, they'll go, you're just spinning it. That's just liberal spin.
No, well, they'll say that, or they'll say, well, it's not George Bush's fault. He can't ride herd on us. He's not the one telling soldiers to abuse people in Iraq. Never mind, he's creating the context for people to abuse.
Right, I'm surprised he didn't do a bit at the Correspondents' Dinner, like with a video of, him walking in on a torture chamber going, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know that was going on.
On that point of who actually gave any kind of authority, it seems the whole language of taking responsibility is fudging it all. General Karpinski, who was in charge of the reserves at that unit of the jail where the torture allegedly took place, said that they were acting with the encouragement of American military intelligence officers and CIA agents, not at the direction of. So it's a question of, that the fact it was knowingly tolerated and even set up, but they pull back from saying that actually orders were given. So it's this kind of gray area where people don't actually have to accept responsibility, which I think is very, very problematic.
Omission or commission.
Well,
that's the way the military has always worked around these areas.
But one of the big problems
is it's a dodge, isn't it? It's an absolute dodge.
Yeah, of course.
But you're going to have a bigger problem here.
Yeah.
If it, as it has been alleged now by the lawyer for one of the soldiers that's charged, that civilian contractors were also involved in this.
I think that's also a dodge. I think that's the same way of saying that it's not systemic and it's a handful of bad apples, and I think that trying to push it off on the contractors. These are all the ways that these senior members of the administration and the high-ups want to just make the American public feel that it wasn't a sanctioned practice and it was just a small thing, and let's kind of move on, guys, and we'll make sure that there are some kind of justice will take place inside the military. And, you know what, hey,
but you know what, private contractors being involved in a military prison and acting as military surrogates
is dodgy.
Is a very, very serious situation.
Because they don't have to answer to international law.
They don't have to answer to anybody.
Well, they probably haven't had training in the Geneva Convention and what practices they can and cannot perform. I mean,
but these precedents were set.
It's more gray areas. I mean, this whole thing is one big gray area. I think they're going to push that contractor thing to their advantage.
This has happened, though, in Vietnam. It happened, and usually it doesn't rise to the surface until something heinous happens and they get called on it, like the My Lai massacre, and this as well is a similar situation, not quite as heinous as that one in retrospect, but definitely heinous, and they got caught. So now heads are going to roll. Whether or not anyone's going to cop to it all the way up to the top is questionable. But we will be back with the liberal agenda. I'm Mark Maron. And I'm here with Sue and Mark, and come on back here on Air America Radio.
I know, being a college freshman is supposed to be tough, but let me tell you about my schedule this semester. All 18 credits. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I have American Lit at 8:05 a.m., and then I only have 15 minutes to get to my 9:15 Ethics and Value Theory class all the way across campus. Then in the afternoon, Calculus 1. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, I have two lectures that go through lunch, Sociology of Families, then Intro to Microbiology, pre-med. And finally, I have a double lab that ends around 9 p.m. Anyway, I just wanted to say, thank you.
If a kid will do whatever it takes to get through college, what will you do to send her there? Please support the United Negro College Fund and call 1-800-332-UNCF, because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Planet Check. Surf's up for ocean warriors.
Matt McLean from Surfrider explains.
Surfrider Foundation is a nonprofit grassroots environmental organization that focuses on protecting and preserving our world's oceans, waves, and beaches.
This year marks the 20th anniversary for Surfrider. It started back in 1984 by a handful of visionary surfers in Malibu, California, who were concerned about some threats to their surf spot.
They kind of banded together and formed this kind of loose collective of that time surfers. And then it just kind of continued on.
In 1991, Surfrider incorporated their first chapter.
So we could better serve communities, because the level of issues and threats out there to our coastlines was so numerous.
Ride the wave and join them at surfrider.org. That's Planet Check.
Planet Check, your daily one-minute terrestrial examination.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Circle of Life and We the Planet. www.circleoflife.org, where consciousness is cool.
Good Monday morning, Mark Maron here on Air America's Morning Sedition with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley. You can email us at sedition@airamericaradio.com. You can use your in-car keyboard to email us. Is that legal to do? I know you can't watch movies anymore, but can you use your computer? I guess you could use a BlackBerry.
You can get your in-car office assistant to do it for you.
I forget that.
That's the way we're going these days.
Yeah, I forget that my phone can do all that stuff. I can get on the web. I don't have a really high-tech web phone, but you can do that. And I just, what would I do with that?
I don't know, because I've never used it myself. I see these phones now that you can actually send video and, you can show people stuff that you're doing in real time.
Yeah.
I don't know. It loses me.
I think it's for kids. It's like I'm not a guy. I don't take pictures. Even when I go on trips, I don't take pictures. I don't have photo albums. I don't have a a camera that, you know, that I carry around with me. I wonder if these pictures in the torture chambers of Iraq were taken with somebody's phone. Who thinks to take pictures like that? What do, who are they going to show them to? What were they thinking?
I don't know. I mean, they took videos, too.
They took videos. I mean, what did they think that, I mean, it's like there's this weird sort of, you know, issue about this stuff. Now, I think that that torture has always been part of warfare since the beginning of time. And we're going to talk to a CIA guy, you know, later in the show, and he's going to tell us about, you know, the effectiveness of torture, you know, whether or not, you know, torture, you know, works, or is it, you know, is it always been there in war? But, like, for these, you know, these reservists to smile and take pictures with, it's just, it's heinous on so many levels.
But see, now, here's a question. What would have happened had a soldier come out and made these allegations, but there were no pictures, there was no video? How would the military have reacted if there was no hard evidence that any of this had taken place?
Well, we don't know that it had not been taking place before the October to December period of the pictures that we have seen.
Of course it was.
Well, what's interesting, in I think the among the British soldiers, is it was senior British soldiers who turned in, who basically ratted on the younger guys. They were so appalled by what was going on that they busted them.
You know what's interesting is that,
my thing is, would the military have stonewalled this thing?
Of course they would.
Not for the images that they cannot deny and that they can't explain away.
Well, come on, we've had years and years of sexual harassment allegations, and until there's really specific stuff, there's always sort of institutional abuses that go unchecked and people turn blind eyes. It's just, it's unfortunate. It's the you know, unpleasant way that things work inside big organizations.
But I think that it's like unchecked. I think it was encouraged. It always has been encouraged in warfare. You know, I think it's always been there. It's just been this sort of dirty secret that, you know, people sort of, it didn't surprise me that they were torturing people. You know, I just assumed that that was going on. I mean, it goes on all over the Arab world.
I don't know. I think it's particularly shocking when you think the two reasons that the U administration really put forward to its allies for justifying this war were, first of all, the weapons of mass destruction, which have not been found, so that's been discredited. And secondly, it was to correct the human rights abuses and the torture that happened under Saddam Hussein. I mean, the Abu Ghraib jail was the place that had the most sinister, most unpleasant torture of prisoners, and the liberation of Abu Ghraib prison was one of the, you know, big milestones in the liberation of Iraq.
Yeah, but all that heinous stuff
looks so, it makes the administration and the British forces, anybody involved in the war, look so bad that the two planks for justifying the war have been removed.
But even if you do the mathematics on that, you know, that type of, you know, injustices and those type of torturings were going on all through the time that we supported Hussein's government. I mean, we supported torturing, you know, tyrannies, you know, forever, America has.
I think
so
that there may have been that the administration or the American governments in the past have supported governments or have been somehow connected or benefited from other people doing torture on their behalf. But I think it's beyond shocking that the American and British forces, if these photographs are proved to be accurate and these allegations are true, it's really shocking that stuff of this level happens.
I think it's exciting that it's out, but I don't think, I'm not shocked that American soldiers behaved like this in these situations. I'm not shocked at that. I'm shocked at the pictures, but what I'm most shocked at is that stupid smiling girl, you know, with her head basically on the buttocks of an Iraqi soldier who has been, like, piled onto his peers, and they're given the thumbs up sign. I mean, where does that come from?
Well,
I mean,
this is where the Europeans think it's come from. I looked at the papers over this weekend, and one of the women who is one of the U.S. military police officers who's now facing a court martial for the pictures, her mother said it's basically racism. Her mother said it was just a stupid kid thing, just stupid pranks.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, let's get back to this later. We've got so much to say on it.
Oh, and perfectly timed facts from Barbara Streisand and the sort of awkward transition from heinousness to hilarity that we do on this show. Today's liberal agenda, get your notebooks and your pens. Here's our marching orders for today from the Streisand compound. 1, break ground on the new UN-sponsored civilian internment camp. 2, send soldiers into war with inferior weapons. 3, let airport security know that asking to remove facial piercings is a violation of First Amendment and the ACLU will be contacted. 4, 15 minutes later, contact ACLU, find out if being asked to remove facial piercings is a violation of First Amendment. 5, Go to Kabbalah class. Perhaps Madonna will be there. Not that you'd bother her. It would just be nice to see her in person.
Wow.
That's our liberal agenda for today, May 2nd, right? 2nd, 3rd?
No, this
May
3rd. 3rd.
I'm sorry.
You lost a day.
It's drifting.
Now, are we going back from hilarity to heinousness, as you put it?
Yeah, after the big break, after the top of the hour, we'll get back to Sue's topic about racism.
Absolutely.
Involved in this.
Coming up on Morning Tradition, are the abuse allegations against U.S. soldiers the exception or the rule? Plus, the Dream Diary, when we come back here on Air America Radio.
Needless to say, I was anxious to be 110 miles offshore and jumping off a boat in the open ocean.
Jim Ray is a marine biologist who has been working with a national marine sanctuary called the Flower Gardens, deep in the Gulf of Mexico.
The Flower Garden banks are a very unique set of reefs. About 55% of the surface area is covered with living coral.
And while his work is not surprising, what might be is who he works for, Shell.
It just gives me a very different view and approach on the environment. Yeah, it has become an old friend.
Protecting this magnificent area is something people like Jim have been doing for over 30 years.
With this kind of protection, it'll probably be there 100 years from now for people to still enjoy.
And while Shell will continue to focus on energy, that will never be its only focus.
As long as I'm still allowed to dive, I'm not too old to climb back on a boat, I'll probably have the opportunity to go back to places like the Flower Gardens.
To find out more, see the Shell report at www.shell.com.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York, the home of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Mark Shearer. Excuse me. The truck driver kidnapped in Iraq 3 weeks ago is on his way home. Thomas Hamill escaped Sunday. His wife from Macon, Georgia, is on her way to meet him in Germany, where he'll be treated for a gunshot wound. A spokesperson for the military medical facility in Germany says he'll also get psychological help if needed.
On our staff, we have people who are trained to take care of that kind of demand, and we also have chaplains. We always welcome the patients when they are getting off the bus.
Hamill spent 3 weeks in captivity. Paul Bremer says, "I didn't mean it." That's the gist of Bremer's explanation for his past comments critical of President Bush. It surfaced last week that Bremer, who's now the U.S. administrator in Iraq, had slammed the Bush administration in February of 2001 for not doing enough to combat terrorism. Bremer said yesterday he regrets those comments and that it was not fair to hold such a new administration responsible for only months of government inaction. A new report says incidents of violence and harassment against Muslims in the U.S. is up. The Council on American-Islamic Relations says it received more than 1,000 complaints last year, up from 600 the year before. President Bush is getting on the bus today. He's going to be campaigning in the key states of Ohio and Michigan today and tomorrow. He'll be on board a bus decorated with the slogan, "Yes, America Can." Is John Kerry an old-fashioned Massachusetts liberal or a business-friendly moderate? Well, Kerry has told the Wall Street Journal that he is the latter. The Democratic presidential candidate says he's launched a major push for corporate supporters. Two stars that he's lined up so far, investment sage Warren Buffett and technology executive Stephen Jobs, both of whom will be Kerry advisors. The son of a former dictator has won Panama's first presidential vote since the handover of the Panama Canal and the withdrawal of U.S. troops in December of 1999. Martin Torrijos, whose father, General Omar Torrijos, ruled Panama with an iron hand from 1968 until his death in 81, defeated ex-president Guillermo Andara yesterday by a wide margin. A foolproof way to carry out the death penalty, a commission in Massachusetts says it's come up with that. This is from the New York Times this morning. A panel appointed by Governor Mitt Romney has made 10 proposals, among them changing the normal legal standard of guilt beyond a reasonable doubt to a finding of no doubt about the defendant's guilt in death penalty cases. Romney is expected to use the plan to try to bring capital punishment back to the state of Massachusetts, where it was abolished 2 decades ago. And a new study says obese kids are more likely to get picked on by their peers and more likely to become bullies themselves. A Canadian study in the May edition of Pediatrics says overweight boys are more than twice as likely than thinner boys to make fun of others. This is Air America Radio News.
Hi, I want to thank you for remembering to recycle, and I want to let you know the recycling program has been completely restored. Every week we're now collecting glass bottles and jars, along with plastic bottles and jugs, metal cans, aluminum foil, beverage cartons, and drink boxes. And don't forget to recycle your mixed paper and corrugated cardboard. Just set out recyclables in clear bags or your recycling containers. If you have any questions or need container decals, please call 311. Thanks for doing your part, New York.
Get your groove on for peace. Chris Decker, founder of Earth Dance International, explains.
Earth Dance is a global synchronized music and dance event for world peace.
The highlight is the prayer for peace. Ambient music with spoken words.
A universal prayer. It's been translated into many different languages and that gets played at the same time all around the world.
The idea is to create a one-day global dance party and everybody dedicates that party to a local nonprofit organization in their city.
So many, many promoters around the world actually choose environmental nonprofits locally and start recognizing that it's really important to look after your environment because the planet is really not at peace, it's out of balance.
This year's Earth Dance is set for September 18th.
The idea is to get really active locally but then join this global event.
Shake it for peace.
The website is www.earthdance.org.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Circle of Life and We the Planet. www.circleoflife.org, where consciousness is cool.
Remember the last time you bit into a sweet, crunchy apple or enjoyed a fresh salad? The Harvest of Hope Foundation reminds you that many of the foods you enjoy are harvested through the hard work of migrant farm workers and their families. Please make a donation to the Harvest of Hope Foundation so we can continue to provide emergency aid and educational scholarships to migrant families and their children. Check out the Harvest of Hope Foundation's website at harvestofhope.net or call toll-free 1-888-922-4673.
There's a resort called Give Kids the World where children with life-threatening illnesses can fill their week with pure joy. Kids and their families indulge in simple pleasures like swimming, visiting local Orlando theme parks, and eating unlimited ice cream, all for free. Call 800-995-KIDS or visit the Give Kids the World website at gktw.org and help give them a time to remember. Brought to you by Give Kids the World and the Ad Council.
Randy Rhodes.
New York doesn't take this voting thing all that seriously because you guys, you still have those machines that I used to vote on with the curtain. You know there's no curtain in Florida. There's no privacy in Florida. You stand at a snack tray. But now we're going to do touchscreen voting and there's no paper. So they can't do a recount. They can't compare exit polls to what, you know, what people say as they leave the polling places.
Randy Rhodes. Afternoons 3 to 7 on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm Mark Maron here along with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley on Air America Radio. It's 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Today, we're going to take President Bush to recovery corner if it kills him. Plus, what a former CIA officer says about U.S. treatment of Iraqi prisoners. That's coming up. It's all coming up. Right now, I'm with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott.
Good morning.
Hey.
It's Monday still. Still Monday?
Still Monday.
It's Monday morning in these beautiful end times, as I'll say twice. And we've been doing a lot of talking about, you know, the torturing and the, you know, Bush correspondence dinner. We've got a CIA officer coming up to talk to us about torture. And I just can't, you know, I've been saying that I can't believe that these people took these pictures. And then I started to realize, like, even in Vietnam and all these other wars, people have always taken trophies. And I guess that's the only thing that I can think is the incentive was that, you know, we're going to have this to show for our experience in Iraq.
Well, listen to this. This was in the Mail on Sunday, one of the British tabloids yesterday before I flew back. And it was an interview with the mother of one of the military police officers who's now facing a court-martial after she was pictured taunting naked Iraqi prisoners in Abu Ghraib jail. And the mother says, "They were just doing stupid kid things, pranks. And what the Iraqis do to our men and women are just. The rules of the Geneva Convention, do they apply to everybody or just us?" So the implication of the mother of one of these alleged torturers is that it's kind of okay because the Iraqis are doing bad things to American servicemen and women, so these are just kind of silly pranks. I think you have to look at it much more seriously than that. That, you know, to why does anybody get so desensitized to the enemy as real people that they can think these things could be dismissed as pranks? Why this would even count as a trophy? Why this could be fun? I mean, unless these people who did this are so bombed out of their heads on drugs and alcohol that they are completely unsentient at the time, it makes no sense at all.
Well, I mean, they're trained to be desensitized to the human toll of war because they're soldiers. And I guess what you're insinuating is some of these guys were insensitive to begin with, whether they were soldiers
or
not.
I mean, I think a lot of the soldiers, that, you know, depending on the backgrounds that they come from, is that I think it's true of the British forces, it's true of the American forces, is that I think that there is a very strong strain of racism that's hard to acknowledge. I do not want to undermine the performance and the bravery of the troops who are over there, but yet you have to look kind of deep inside the thinking processes, even if they are deep thinking. But there is some kind of racism. I mean, if you grew up in a small, tiny town in the middle of England, and or you grew up in a, you know, all-white community in, say, Tennessee, and I'm not picking on these particular places, Lancashire in England, Tennessee, for instance, there is very strong racism still that we wish were not there, that we don't want to acknowledge, but I think it all comes to the surface when you're in a situation where you're frightened, where your buddies have been killed, and where you just don't understand the culture that you are being asked to secure.
But isn't, on some level, isn't war in and of itself racist?
Is it racist? I think it could be.
We are fighting.
It could turn out to be racist. This was not supposed to be a racist war. This was supposed to be about everything that's above.
But when they say
it's supposed to be about freedom and democracy, it's supposed to be so much higher than our personal animosities or
bigotry. But who are we fighting? Iraqis. I mean, on some level, isn't that racist?
I think that it's misinterpreted as racist. I think that it's been kind of unclear. The fact that you turn people into dehumanized enemies, I don't think that it's racist, but I think that the it can play into racist knee-jerk behavior.
I think.
What do you think, Riley?
I think it's. I think war is racist usually.
Well, I think you both have stuff that somebody could agree with very quickly. First.
But not you.
No, it's me. The question of racism as regards war itself, certainly if you look at 20th century history, and you start asking yourself, you know, who went to war over what issues and for what purposes, you could very easily come to that conclusion. And certainly when you look at the idea of America not invading all countries that possess weapons of mass destruction, you could look at it from that point. But Sue's point is also well taken, that these are individuals. These are people that come from a specific experience. Again, whether it's in England, whether it's here, and, you know, it may not take much. And certainly may not take much encouragement, for example, from some intelligence guy who says, well, keep the guy up all night or make sure the guy doesn't have a good sleep or something like that, to interpret that to mean, okay, well, it's okay to beat his ass then.
Yeah, but there's a big jump from that, from some of the really appalling allegations that are out there kind of in the media today, that, you know, sexual attacks with a broom. It sounds like, you know, the Abner Louima case in New York.
Yeah.
Urinating on naked prisoners, piling them up in positions of, you know, sexual act. I mean, this is so humiliating.
It's dehumanizing.
So humiliating to people in that culture where nakedness and homosexuality are, you know, absolute taboos. I mean, there was one guy who was quoted, I think, was in the New York Times today, saying that they'd shot him in the middle of the forehead than posed him in those positions. It was just so degrading.
Yeah, finish that sentence, though. There was another guy that said that, you know, this makes us feel like women, you know, and what could be more degrading than that?
Oh, my God.
Well, that's a whole separate conversation in itself.
But see, that's the
We've
thing.
Got time.
If they shot him in the eye, how would they be able to have gotten any intelligence?
Well, the real question comes is that, is it not, it's not a prank, it's not childish behavior if they knew ahead of time that this type of humiliation would be more, you know, insulting to Muslim men than actual, you know, violent torture, which they did as well. But there was a question in one of these pieces, which is like, did they have the foresight to know that sexual degradation would have more of an impact on these men and their ideas of masculinity than actual beating them up?
It should do. I think even in, you know, Western culture, if you put a bunch of American men and stripped them naked and had them perform, you know, pseudo-homosexual acts, that is incredibly degrading.
It depends depends what circles you run in, but I understand what you're saying.
To a man's sense of sexuality. It is.
I felt, there was one guy who was talking about, you know, just some, they were just laughing at him, standing there naked for 15 minutes. I've had that happen to me, but it was a much more isolated event. It was just me and a girl, and we got over it.
I thought it was like in a locker room.
All I know is that if that were the case, if they played David Bowie music over half of these tortures, they'd send these guys into sexual identity crises that'll last the rest of their life.
You know, the president himself has said that he has a serious problem with these allegations. In fact, on Friday, I believe, he was quoted as saying that he is disgusted at these allegations. Let's hear from our commander-in-chief.
I didn't like it one bit. But I also want to remind people that those few people who did that do not reflect the nature of the men and women we sent overseas.
Now, you know, this may be the first time President Bush and Arizona Senator John McCain have agreed on much lately. Senator McCain, who himself was a prisoner of war during Vietnam, says he doesn't think that this kind of abuse is widespread in Iraq. He spoke on ABC's This Week.
I have known thousands and thousands of members of the United States Army for many, many years. I know, I am convinced that this is a very small minority. The men and women who serve honorably are as angered and as appalled as all of us are.
I think that's true, especially when you know that it's British soldiers who actually turned in and revealed the photographs of fellow soldiers committing these acts of torture. They were absolutely horrified. But I think one of the things to consider is that it's not all that surprising that any of this should have happened when America itself has permitted itself a so much more relaxed interpretation of civil rights since 9/11, that we have, you know, José Padilla and Yasser.
That's such a nice way to put it. So I'm more relaxed. You mean like the Patriot Act, like these impositions?
Well, the fact that they have people held on U.S. soil, the whole Guantanamo stuff, the whole fact that basic civil rights have been kind of rolled back or ignored,
taken away,
not based on the kind of the letter of the law, but you know, to whom your allegiance is to. If they think that you're suspicious for any reason, that they can go beyond normal powers, they can enforce the Patriot Act, and even then, you know, go beyond to the point that the Supreme Court has to decide whether or not you can hold people. So when civil rights are being, you know, abused in your own country, it's not surprising that there's some kind of trickle-down effect and that soldiers acting on Iraqi soil on behalf of the administration feel that they can pretty much do the same thing.
I really don't think it has much to do with that. I think this kind of behavior has been going on for centuries. I don't find it that shocking, as I said before, and I don't think it's, you know, directly connected to that. I mean, whether or not America will tolerate it, I could see how that could be connected to, you know, these relaxing or taking away of civil liberties. But
I think soldiers are the same thing. I think from a foreign perspective, it speaks to a kind of American sense of kind of arrogance, and we can do things that we are not supposed to do, kind of in the name of us.
I'll ask the CIA guy. I mean, it seems to me that torture has always been part of warfare. It is just the secret part.
But see, taking your argument to its logical conclusion, which I think, you know, people really ought to, we talk about war and ask ourselves whether or not, you know, we ought to be going to war if this is going to be a constant and continuing byproduct, which I think you're right, it is. All right, there's always going to be torture. There's always going to be abuse when people are taken prisoner during wartime.
And, of course, Bush is going to say he didn't know, because why would he know? He didn't know anything else.
Yeah, but you're also the same people that you're talking about him appealing to. I think that even if they think he did know, they'd be like, well, that's what we got to do. You know, I think there are people that believe that, and they feel that this is the only way to do things. Hopefully, our CIA guy will straighten us up about that. So still ahead, we've got the Dream Diary and our CIA officer. We're going to talk to him about the treatment of Iraqis. We've got the PDB and more right here on Air America Radio.
This is Michael Stipe, and you are listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
As a business leader, do you need more time to focus on your core business without ignoring your employees?
GEM Human Resources is your solution. GEM HR will handle all of the human resource and safety outsourcing services that your organization needs. Payroll processing, benefit administration, HR compliance issues, OSHA safety administration, recruiting, and more. All at a cost that's less than you're paying today. With our team managing your human resource priorities, your team can focus on what's really important, your business. GEM HR combines state-of-the-art technology with experience professionals to efficiently develop, implement, and maintain your human resource needs. You'll increase your productivity and grow your business. Contact GEM HR today at 610-975-9995 or on the web at gemhr.com. At GEM HR, we believe happy employees are your company's greatest asset.
If you have diabetes, you already know you could develop kidney failure, lose a limb, or go blind. But did you know that 2 out of 3 people with diabetes actually die from heart disease or stroke? If you have diabetes, you can lower your risk of heart attack or stroke by lowering your blood sugar, blood pressure, and cholesterol. Get plenty of exercise, eat healthy, and don't smoke. Ask your doctor to tell you about other ways to lower your chance of a fatal heart attack or stroke. The link between diabetes and heart disease is strong. Ask your doctor to tell you more or call 1-800-DIABETES. That's 1-800-DIABETES. Or visit us online at www.diabetes.org. A message from the American Diabetes Association and the American College of Cardiology.
Planet Check. World-renowned reggae artist Pato Banton talks about Mama Nature.
The first track, Mama Nature, speaks for itself, really. The birds and bees, the plants and trees, the way that the need of treating the planet. For me, being aware and making people aware of the necessity to take care of the planet we live on is just as important as taking care of the house that you live in.
Pato talks about corporate responsibility.
I think there has to be a balance between the principles that major companies have and a balance between that and the profit margin that they need to gain to sustain themselves as a major company. But they have to tilt the scales in the direction of caring for this planet.
Words of wisdom from Pato Banton. That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to CatMail.com, where environmentally conscious Americans get their internet access for free. CatMail.com, helping people and the planet.
Good morning, Mark Maron here on Morning Sedition here on Air America Radio. I'm with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. Email us if you'd like at sedition@airamericaradio.com. Right now, it is 20 past the hour, and it is that time. Hi, my name's Mark, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Mark.
This is when I reach out to others in recovery, and as always, I want to talk to my sponsee, George W. It's Recovery Corner, if you're wondering. Hey, George W., I heard you told some jokes at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. And I heard you killed, man. Well, I heard the punchline. What was it? Nothing to be responsible for? I guess you're feeling pretty good about yourself right now, aren't you, George? I always feel good after a killer set, but then I still have to go back to dealing with the real issues of my sad little bitter life. Is that what you're doing? Probably not. I guess everything's a joke to you, huh? Hey, I'm a comedian. I can dig it. I like dark humor. Lenny Bruce joked about death, but if he had done bits about deaths he was responsible for, I don't think it would have gone over that well. The one thing you and Lenny have in common is that you're both druggies who have avoided dealing with your issues. He didn't deal with his addiction, and you're not dealing with your recovery very well because it still seems like you're acting out a little bit. A lot of self-will going on, a lot of ego involved. I mean, and the only victim of Lenny's life was Lenny. The victims of your life has just surpassed 700. So call me, man. I think we need to talk. Remember, it works if you work it. So work it, you're worth it, and live it, and keep the plug in the jug. And, you know, God doesn't wake up and think he's you. And you got one foot in yesterday, the other foot in tomorrow. You're peeing on today. Think. Do the next right thing. Do what's in front of you. La 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 la. Good day to you, George W.
How do you think Lenny Bruce would have done his command?
One day at a time. How do you think Crazy Bruce would have done this comparison? Hey, man, wow, dude, that's wackadoo. 23 skidoo. I don't know how
that
he
could be done. George Bush.
Oh, yeah.
Except Lenny was a lot more manic, a lot more intelligent. He was pumping on a lot more cylinders. Yeah. Right now, it's time for our guest. The military is now on the defensive in relation to those horrific torture photos taken in Iraq. Is this a systematic problem with our intelligence service? Remember the August 6th presidential daily briefing? How much did that briefing really reveal? And who is to blame for the shoddy intelligence? Robert Baer was a case officer in the Directorate of Operations for the Central Intelligence Agency from 1976 to 1997. He served all over the Middle East. He joins us now to give us his take. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well, sir. What do you think of these torture photos, and why should we think this is unusual?
Well, I think we should. It's unusual because it was systematic.
It is definitely systematic.
Oh, absolutely. Last night I saw emails that were written contemporaneously with the torture, and it refers to people, outsiders coming in, telling them to torture, bringing in a man who was severely beaten up and later died and then snuck out by military intelligence.
So if this goes all the way up the ladder, how are they going to shrug it off?
They can't. Because it's not just seven soldiers, seven MPs. There are officers involved. Instructions were given to them. They will find evidence, and it will be a major scandal, especially in the Middle East.
So is this woman Karpinski, the one who was in charge of the jails, do you think she was sort of a setup in the way that they thought that she might not have paid attention to this stuff?
Isn't this the way they always do it?
Yeah, tell me about it.
You pick seven defenseless people or eight defenseless people, hope they'll take the blame, and it'll all go away. It's not going to, though. It's very clear if you look at the press today.
And this is not unusual behavior in warfare at all, is it?
It is unusual.
Yeah?
This is hard for a lot of people to believe, but when I was in the CIA, I left in 1979 in December, we absolutely were forbidden to be associated with physical abuse at all,
mm-hmm.
not just our own, but other governments.
Mm-hmm.
If we were aware of torture to the Egyptian government or any other government, we were to back out, go away, even we cut off connection with other governments that were torturing.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you what a strict rule it was and how unusual this is. And it's important for Americans to understand this. This isn't the way we operate.
Robert, you said earlier that you had seen emails that proved to you that this kind of abuse was systematic. Who were those emails from and to whom did they go?
They were mainly emails from Chip Frederick that was writing to his family and to other people.
Who's
and
he?
Like he's one of the sergeants charged, isn't he?
He was one of the ones charged. He's been named. He's sort of at the center of this scandal.
Was he in the pictures?
I think in one of his pictures, yes. He's standing with an M4.
Could you believe that, man? Could you believe those pictures with just the tone of them and the attitude and the cavalier sort of weird party element?
Well, what it suggests to me is pure racism.
Right.
That's what bothers me. You consider that Iraq's a country that never killed an American, or at least didn't initiate any wars, was not involved in 9/11 that we know about, and yet we're in that country behaving like Saddam.
It's amazing because you sort of put my brain, I was under the assumption that torture was such a regular element of war and that racism was a regular element of war.
No, I was in Beirut in 1983 when the embassy was blown up. I wasn't in Beirut at the time, but I was part of the investigation afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, the Lebanese hauled somebody in who turned out to be innocent, beat him up, killed him. And we got orders from Washington, from the Directorate of Operations, to cut off connections, go close the investigation, leave. Because we were so mad about it.
But that's all the way from Washington. But, like, if this is sort of... You're telling me that in most conflicts, even in isolated sort of, of situations, that this doesn't really happen that often.
No, I was in Iraq in 1995, and we had almost 4,000 prisoners, which were... And I was with four other CIA people that were under my command.
Mm-hmm.
And I told the Kurds that had captured them, do not torture them.
Mm-hmm.
Question them, get what you can, turn them back over, send them across the back of the lines without their arms. But that was standard.
Robert Baer, what about these allegations that have been made by some of the military people who have been charged? A, that there were American military intelligence people kind of encouraging them to get rough with the prisoners, and I think just as important, the allegation that there may have been private, non-military people involved somehow in this intelligence chain of command.
Well, that is because remember these people, these contractors that have been accused, there's two of them, and one of them has been accused of raping a juvenile in the prison while wearing a U.S. military uniform, I find outrageous. These people are under no one's law. They are surrogates for the military. These guys may have been the ones that told the MPs to torture these people. I don't know. It's not clear at this point.
So you think that's why that they're using so much privatized force in Iraq that enables them to do that? Do you think that's something they knew previous, that they could use these people to sort of circumvent international law on these issues?
Well, it was cheaper, and then you have less of a footprint in Iraq if you're using contractors.
Right.
This whole idea that you can outsource a war sounds like the Crusades to me. You know, go to Iraq, collect your booty, and you know, kill the natives, and then come back.
Well, thanks a lot for talking to us, Robert Baer. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
It was great talking to you.
All right.
So that was pretty interesting. I was wrong.
he said that it is unusual and that it's racism.
Well, yeah, and I agreed on the racism element, but I'm really surprised that it wasn't more common. So I'll have a little humble pie on this.
Is that one to me?
Yes.
Not that we're keeping score or anything.
You can definitely have
put
that.
Put one up in the corner of the UK, lady. So do you think the treatment of Iraqi prisoners was an aberration? Let us know at 866-303-AAR0. That's 866-303-2270. We'll take your calls here at Air America Radio.
While you can't see brilliant colors on the radio, you can use them in your business. That's why the Xerox WorkCenter M24 digital color copier printer is attractive to anyone who listens to the voice of reason. The lease price is a low $189 a month. You get brilliant Xerox color for less than 9 cents a page, plus the Xerox Total Satisfaction Guarantee. To get all the colors you can't see on the radio, do the most reasonable thing.
Call 1-800-ASK-XEROX for business lease details. Additional per copy charge.
Hey, it's summertime, all right, and all that summer sun and heat you're taking in right now can really dry out your lips. So here's a little tip to help keep lips moisturized and protected. ChapStick Lip Moisturizer. That's right. ChapStick Lip Moisturizer's got SPF 15 and 10 moisturizers, like aloe and vitamin E, to moisturize summer-dried lips and help keep them feeling great. Because summertime is ChapStick time, too. Use as directed.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Mark Shearer. Police in Turkey say they have foiled a bomb plot, arresting 16 suspects linked to an al-Qaeda arm who were planning a bomb attack during a NATO meeting in June that President Bush is expected to attend. Senior military officials say 7 American officers have been reprimanded in connection with the alleged abuse of Iraqi prisoners. Another 6 Americans are facing criminal charges. A public memorial service will be held today in San Jose, the hometown of Pat Tillman, the former pro football player who was killed in battle in Afghanistan last month. Thomas Hamill, the kidnapped American truck driver who escaped from his captors in Iraq yesterday, is en route to Germany and a reunion with his wife. Senior citizens can start signing up today for the new Medicare drug discount cards. President Bush hits the road for 2 days of campaigning in Ohio and Michigan by bus, and Senator Kerry tells the Wall Street Journal he is a business-friendly...
Weeds, like dandelion and clover, can stand between you and a thick green lawn. That's why Bayer Advanced created Triple Action Lawn Fertilizer Plus Weed Control. It kills 4 times as many types of weeds as the leading brand and feeds at every level, the grass, the roots, plus it fortifies the soil for a thicker, deep-down green that lasts longer without the weeds, guaranteed. Bayer Advanced. Better thinking, better results. Save up to $23 when you purchase the Bayer Advanced Fertilizer Program. Available at Lowe's and other garden retailers, or visit BayerAdvanced.com for details.
Welcome to Classes on Tape.
Okay.
Let's begin. Open your color-coded guidebooks to the yellow section.
Yellow.
Encouraging phrases. Ready?
Oh, wait. I don't have my...
Now, repeat the following phrase. Son, you did great on that test.
Son?
I'm so proud of you.
Oh, son, you did great on that test.
How did you do? Try it again.
Son, you did great
Try
on...
Again.
Son, you did great
again.
On that... Wait. Son, you did great on that test. I'm so proud of you. Son, you did great on that test. I'm so proud of you.
Hey, Dad. How's it going?
Son, you're so proud. And that's a great test.
It's really not that difficult. In fact, encouraging your kids to stay in school is something every parent can do. Talk to them. Encourage them. Get them to graduate. Don't drop out on your kids. For a free brochure, call 877-4KID. That's 877-FORAKID. This message brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
The O'Franken Factor.
This week on the O'Franken Factor, the prescient James Fallows, conservative apostate David Brock, the once and future Howard Dean, and Joe Wilson, the man whose wife was exposed as a CIA agent by Robert Novak. Is he mad? Wouldn't you be? All this plus plenty of giggles on the show, the Minneapolis Star Tribune called Sometimes Stilted, the O'Franken Factor.
Mark Maron here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott on Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. We're taking your calls at 1-866-303-AAR0. That's 866-303-2270. Got an email here saying that the comment that the war in Iraq is racist because it's against Iraqis was amazingly stupid. It was a comment I made. I'm not sure that he understood what I was saying. I say that when you go to war against a country of specific country people, that on some level the intent, whether it may not be racism, but you are fighting all of that type of person on some level. And I understand what he said in the email, which is if all soldiers were racist, then the torture would continue. When your friends are killed by locals, it is easy to hate the locals. I understand that I was talking a much broader idea. But here we go. Here we got, how about Brian in upstate New York? Brian.
Hey, good morning, all.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Well, I was thinking on this topic, and I think that the idea that you're putting forth, Mark, is going to be a little bit hard to relate for people in America because we have such a mix of races here.
Right.
But I don't necessarily disagree with it because you are dealing with a rather homogeneous foe in terms of at least outward appearance.
Right.
You're not going to have a guy from Iowa or from New York take a look at somebody and try to determine if they're Sunni or Shiite or Kurd.
Right.
And but the real point that I was going to make was that I think that the torture and abuse of Iraqis is going to be a lot more common than any of us would like to believe, though I don't think we could say that more than half of our people are doing it, because you can combine the natural fear and uncertainty of facing an opponent that's fighting a guerrilla war and trying to blend in with the civilian population, putting everyone under the veil of suspicion.
Yeah.
And combining that with the assumption,
the chaos and the fear.
Well, yeah, but combining that with the assumption that's been fomented by the administration that the people in this that country had something to do with the attack on our country.
Right, right.
Right, but I think that reaction, or as some people would argue, the tendency for the American forces to have been too severe in their reactions and in fighting is very, very different from the step beyond that, which is degrading prisoners.
Let's not lose sight of the fact that while the sacrifice that servicemen make is noble, we're not necessarily dealing with the most high-minded people taking a job for $20,000 a year.
Okay, well, this right. plays right into something that I'm
Wait a minute, wait, hold up. I mean, not for nothing, but there are plenty of high-minded people working in $20,000 a year gigs.
Oh, sure,
you know,
sure
outside
there,
the service. I don't want to sure you know, I don't want to make this into a,
is,
you know.
But okay, let me just give you this. Half the people in the country are below average intelligence.
Okay.
Well, statistically,
well, people, and given American values and not only morals, but the high value placed on materialism and achievement, not everybody's going to gravitate toward the military as a low paying job for their ideals. And there are many that do, and I respect that. But you're dealing with a lot of people who didn't have other alternatives.
Right, right.
And you combine that with fear
right.
and anger and patriotism, and fanning the flames of racism based on lies told about the presumed guilt of these people that they're fighting against, you've got a horrible cauldron.
Absolutely right. I agree with you, Brian. Thanks for calling us.
There is probably some point there. I mean, I think that's true of it's about a kind of a level of ignorance, and a level of ignorance that is not wide, that is not necessarily widespread, and you can't say that it applies to every single person fighting in the military of this
right.
country or any other country, but some people, perhaps it is more sizable in the U.S. military than another. I don't really know.
Well, it's a bigger military, so on some level, just on a number.
I speak proportionally,
right.
not on a numbers level, that given that you train people to dehumanize the enemy and to be willing to kill them, at some point it trips over into coming across as racist. If you are somebody who is racist to begin with, I mean, I understand racism to mean sort of discrimination based on color, race, or ethnicity of the other person. It's different than dehumanizing the enemy, but you know, clearly there is some racism kind of at work here in the British military and the American military if these pictures are in fact true.
Okay. Ginger in London. How are you, Ginger?
I'm actually not in North London. I'm in East Anglia.
Wow.
That's the bottom right-hand corner.
So
it's that little teeny part north of London.
Now, you're a military person, right?
Yeah, I'm a veteran, and my husband's active duty 18 years.
So give us some truth here.
Well, the racism part, you know, I'll give you that because I see it every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to remember you have a military that's had, what, 4 or 5 different reasons for why we went to war with Iraq?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when bottom line it comes down to, you have to despise and dehumanize your enemy to kill him, don't you?
Yes.
You know, and I get emails from, you know, through the military that come into my inbox from my husband that get forwarded to him, that are forwarded to, you know, other people in the military, and some of them, you know, are very racist. I got an email 2 weeks ago that was from a helicopter that was 2 miles away from some Iraqis that were planting those roadside bombs. And the video was from the helicopter's point of view, watching them being blown up on infrared. These videos are out there, and they're being circulated amongst the military. Now, if you don't think that that's promoting this hatred and dehumanization of that enemy, you're crazy.
Thanks a lot for your call, Ginger. Appreciate it.
You know, she made an interesting point. She made a very, very interesting point that these kinds of things are circulated. You wondered why people took the pictures, why people took the videos. If videos of helicopters shooting missiles at Iraqis are widespread and circulated within the military, we may have a much bigger problem here than anyone realizes.
But there's been a problem since the beginning, too, of other forces involved in the coalition saying that the Americans were culturally insensitive. And so this is the thing about this story about the torture is it plays into so many grinding issues of resentment and misunderstanding, the breakdown of the command structure within the U.S. military, the resentment and between the various factions involved in the coalition, the kind of misunderstanding between kind of Iraqis and Americans, the lack of sophistication. I mean, there's just so many things percolating here. Even, in fact, the woman who was in charge of the reservists who were supposedly looking at the jail, Abu Ghraib jail.
Karpinski.
Karpinski.
She was set
saying
up
that
like...
she was, you know, that Janice Karpinski, quoted by one of her colleagues in a British paper over the weekend, saying that she only got to the top in the U.S. Army because she was promoted beyond her ability because she was a woman. I mean, that old chestnut, every single grievance is out in the story. One of her colleagues is quoted as saying that.
One thing's for sure is that, you know, cameras are much smaller now and easier to use. We'll be back with the Dream Diary. Is John Kerry narrowing his choice for vice president? We'll put you on the line later right here on Air America.
Mom was just diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. Now what? How much longer does she have? Will she start losing her memory right away? What's it going to take to take care of her? Should she continue to drive? Will she remember me? Are there any treatments yet? How much longer till there's a cure? Am I going to have to get help? Will she have to move into a nursing home? What do I do now? Is there anything I can do? Why is this happening to us?
If you have questions about Alzheimer's disease, the Alzheimer's Disease Education and Referral Center can help. We're the most comprehensive resource for learning and coping with Alzheimer's. Just call 1-800-438-4380 for referrals and information, beginning with a free copy of the Caregiver's Kit. We may not have answers to all your questions, but we do have all the answers that exist. So call today. 1-800-438-4380. This is a service of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Raw sewage is a big problem in the U.S. Novice Bermudez from the Sierra Club explains.
EPA has estimated that there are approximately 40,000 discharges of raw sewage each year in the United States, and this contaminates drinking water sources, streams, and homes.
In January 2001, the EPA proposed new requirements for fixing outdated sewer systems and public reporting and notification of sewer overflows. Right now, the public is not always notified, leaving people at risk.
This EPA proposal would have cost $1.92 per household per year, but the Bush administration has blocked the proposal and has refused to take any action, leaving these protections against sewage overflows on permanent hold.
Raw sewage discharges are illegal under the Clean Water Act.
For more information, www.sierraclub.org.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Circle of Life and We the Planet. www.circleoflife.org, where consciousness is cool.
Planet Check.
Eco victory for Yellowstone Park. Federal Judge Emmett Sullivan says no go to snowmobiles.
The judge determined that the ruling of the Bush administration was in violation of the intent of the Organic Act of the National Parks. The levels of snowmobiles in either case were outrageously high, given the mandate to protect Yellowstone irreparably for future generations.
That's Alfred Runty, author of National Parks, The American Experience.
The big environmental hazard has been to the wildlife and to the quality of the air. But there's a more fundamental issue, and that is, why have snowmobiles in the national parks in the first place? We're supposed to go there and enjoy nature.
The court ruling marks the beginning of a phase-out of snowmobiles in Yellowstone.
Snowmobiles are cut back in half for this year, from 900 to 460-some machines. Next year, there will be a total elimination of snowmobiles.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Circle of Life and We the Planet. www.circleoflife.org, where consciousness is cool.
It's 44 past the hour. I'm Mark Maron with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley on Morning Sedition here on Air America Radio. And that, of course, is Aerosmith, when they were good. Right now.
When was that?
They were good, man. The first four or five records. The very first album was great. Now I'm going to lose, you know, some people out. It's so weird, man. I got an email. Chris, my board operator here, I got an email, right? All right, I was talking about rock and roll, right, but I talked about sex once, and this email actually said, you know, if you want to appeal to moderates, I would lose the sex talk.
Because moderates aren't having any? That's bizarre.
I have no idea what the angle on that one is, because, you know, some guy decided to sort of, like, attach, you know, political ideology to the fact, like, you can't talk about sex if you're a moderate. What kind of, you know, it's like some people out there, like, you know, there's a reason why, you know, liberals are despised. You know, by some people. You know why? Because a lot of them are wusses, and they refuse to have a sense of humor about anything, and they take themselves way too seriously.
Wait a minute. The guy said he was a moderate. He didn't say he was a liberal.
I don't know what the hell he was saying.
He's a moderate what?
he was a moderate.
He has sex in moderation. That's what he was trying to
say. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But right now it's time for something deep. You ready for something deep?
Mm-hmm.
We're continuing the theme of me reading my dreams on the air at the request of my therapist. You know, I'm sharing them because some of them are pretty interesting. So this is my dream diary. Let me try and make out what I wrote here. All right, I'm in high school, okay? And I'm the new girl.
Okay.
I've got bad shoes and naturally curly hair. And I see these three really popular girls sitting together in the lunchroom, only they're Bush, Cheney, and Rumsfeld, all right? And I don't want to say it, but Rumsfeld was totally hot. Now, Cheney, of course, you know, could use a little ab work. But, all right, so they said, come sit at our table and we'll make you popular, right? And, you know, and then some high-pitched voice said, they're mean girls, don't sit there. And then they told me to go sit with the stoners, but I sat down anyways, all right? So the mean girls made me popular, all right? They told me what to wear, what lobbyists to hang out with. They take me to the mall shopping. They said they were looking for some cute missile defense systems and maybe one of those little pleated tennis skirts. And then we see John Kerry at the food court, and he's got on all his war medals, and they're huge, and they're weighing him down. He can barely move. And I'm like, he's cute. And the mean girls are like, oh, my God, he's such a dork. And Bush says, what are those on his chest? And I'm like, those are war medals, duh. And Cheney says, they look totally fake. And I like, and I say, and I'm like, shut up, they do not. And he says, they do too. And I say, they do not. And he says, they do too. And I say, they do not. And we did that for 3 hours until my until my unconscious mind stepped in and slapped both of us. I grounded myself, took away the car keys, and sent the chaining girl home. I felt awful but happy because I had six arms for some reason. I woke up and my bed was full of rich, fertile soil. What is that about? What is that about?
Gardening.
You really want to know what it's about?
Well, yeah.
Answer the following question.
Yes, sir.
How much stuff had you read and heard and seen about the torture and sexual abuse of Iraqi prisoners before you had that dream?
A little bit.
A little bit.
And I think something to do with the billboards for Mean Girls might have had something to do with it.
Had something to do with it, too. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, you're hitting on all cylinders.
I feel really raw and vulnerable and weird. I might have to sit down.
Really? No.
I'm all right.
No.
So what? I was a girl in a dream. Who cares? I like being a girl in my dreams.
I've got one story I would like to talk about, and that's the joining, 10 new countries joining the European Union this weekend. And I went back to London, and there were people marching around outside Waterloo Station, which is the station where you come in from Europe, from Paris, with billboards saying, Britain is full. And I wanted to yell out, full of people as stupid as you! Anyway, but Pope John Paul on Sunday welcomed these 10 countries and said that the European Union could only face the challenges of the 21st century if it defended its Christian roots. Now, Pope John Paul, his native country is Poland, one of the countries that's now
joining
part
the
of the, yeah, now has now joined. They joined on Saturday, so there's now 25 countries. It seems that there's a problem now. We're at this sort of watershed. We're dealing with what's happening in the Arab world and the same thing in Europe, that how do we unify people from very different cultures? Is it going to be the common pursuit of freedom and democracy, or is it going to fall back on kind of the age-old connection of religion?
You mean forcing them to all have the same religion?
Well, it's just it's a comfort. I think you just can't force people to have a religion they don't have. Europe is predominantly Christian. Mm-hmm. But the fact that you don't acknowledge that it's increasingly Muslim and that people should be allowed to pursue, or at least they need to find a way of people pursuing their own religions and cohabiting, it seems... It's a big problem when you start getting up there and saying that we have to defend the Christian roots of this block of 25 countries.
I thought the whole idea was to bring Europe together under one currency. Isn't that to make it one giant enclosed mall and France was to be the food court? Am I wrong?
That would be great if it were. Britain is, of course, digging in the hills. I don't ever have the euro. But I think it's a problem when you are pushing religion, when you're pushing religion to be the common unifying force.
This can't help the cause. Muslims have got to be pissed off about this.
Well, I would imagine so, but it's just an interesting parallel to how the coalition is trying to unify Iraq, as we see at the moment, unifying it against the administration.
I'm curious about something. When they stopped, when you went through Waterloo Station, were they complaining about the fact that now people from these 10 countries will be able to travel freely and
yes,
work?
Yes, they're able to come and work.
And work in Britain.
Able to come and work in Britain. Anybody who has a passport for a European country, there is free passage. You are allowed to move to any other of the countries. You're allowed to study. You have a work permit. This is part of the EU.
Yeah, that's part of being in the EU.
It is a big backlash against immigration now because it's seen that many people come not intending to work but to avail themselves of social security, welfare benefits, housing allowances, and come not to work. And the governments have had to assure people that they're not going to hand out benefits if people are not willing to work.
So that everyone gets a Euro rail pass.
But I think you have to.
All right, we'll be back.
Back on to Christianity.
We'll be back with the morning devotional, speaking of religious, here on Air America Radio.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How are you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling. Mine too.
But who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back. Guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's.
I'll just see who that is then.
Oh no! South American killer bees! They're going for my...
A swarm of killer bees. That's one thing you don't want in your house. One thing you do want in your house is a better-looking roof with Plictanium plywood from Georgia-Pacific. Other roof sheathing materials can swell at the edges, creating an unsightly checkerboard pattern under your shingles. Plictanium roofs provide a more uniform surface. Plictanium plywood. Build it better.
Planet Check. The Bush administration is trying to stack our courts with lifetime anti-environmental judges. Glenn Sugamelli from Earth Justice explains.
The latest one is former mining and beef industry lobbyist named William Myers. Now the president is trying to put him on the Ninth Circuit U.S. Appeals Court for life.
That's the court that decides the fate of environmental safeguards in California and eight other western states.
Myers has an extreme record. He attacked basic endangered species and clean water safeguards as unconstitutional.
Many environmental, civil rights, labor, and women's groups are opposed.
The good news is that people can do something about this. They can log on to our website at earthjustice.org and find out how they can urge their senators to stop Myers and other anti-environmental nominees. That's earthjustice.org.
That's Planet Check. Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Circle of Life and We the Planet. www.circleoflife.org, where consciousness is cool.
There was dirt, water, and air, and it was good. Once, Planet Check.
Evolution is a beautiful thing. Lori Demerit from the Hartman Group explains.
What we have confirmed through that behavioral study, and we've been doing that for about 10 years, that consumers absolutely are changing the way they're living their lives.
Surprisingly, this positive change is driven by lifestyle, not demographics.
We find that consumers of all different ages, incomes, education levels, ethnicities are interested in health and wellness products.
It's no longer just their personal health, but the health of their world.
What happens is they start to become more concerned about environmental attributes. We do find that consumers are looking for products that reflect their values. That can be anything from health to environmental concerns.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check, your daily one-minute terrestrial examination. Planet Check is possible thanks to Circle of Life and We the Planet. www.circleoflife.org, where consciousness is cool.
Good morning. It's Monday. It's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel okay. I feel pretty good. I'm here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. It's a morning sedition on Air America Radio, and it is now time, of course, for our morning devotional. Dear Lord, let me offer a prayer for your servant, Pope John Paul II. Over the weekend, he said that Europe's identity would be incomprehensible without Christianity, and that the EU should enshrine Christianity in its constitution. Now, I like the Pope, Lord. He's a smart man, speaks all those languages, devout, distinctive hat. But saying the EU needs more Christianity is a little like a Saudi sheik telling everyone to use more oil. I smell a conflict of interest here, Lord. And what about Turkey? They want to join the EU, but they're mostly Muslim. Good people, the Turks, not Christian, but definitely good peeps. Should Europe just ignore them? Come on. Who doesn't like Turkey? We've done an awful lot of fighting over religion, Lord. It's been the Jets and the Sharks down here for too long without the Pope making it worse. Diversity's going to happen, Lord. Help John Paul to realize that and maybe ease up on the hard sell a little. And make sure he eats, okay, because he's old. Thanks. Amen. That was very inspirational.
I know.
You guys, you should do your thing at the end as well.
Now,
I'm thrown when you
I'm curious about something.
Yes.
The Pope is saying that Europe would be incomprehensible without Christianity.
Yeah.
You heard that thing that they play in the background.
Yeah.
Since when is that comprehensible?
Right.
You know, I mean, that I don't know what they're saying.
I think it shows an amazing lack of imagination on behalf of the Pope.
I think that
he's old, you know.
I think we're heading for some sort
that's
of
the problem. You know, he wants Christianity enshrined in the Constitution. You just can't do that. You can't do that with a changing Europe.
But
it's
don't
not
you
possible.
Think
it's outmoded, outdated.
Don't you think it's
unrealistic?
Don't you think it's a direct attack on Muslim ideology?
either that or they feel they have to kind of carry on boosting the numbers of Christians. Maybe not enough people aren't signing on to Christianity in Europe. I mean,
or being devout enough or being
listen,
focused.
It's his job. He's the number one recruiter. He has to say that. But, you know, you can't do that at a time where you know, countries in Europe are actually evolving to understanding that, you know, acknowledging rising Muslim populations is a way to achieve, you know, some kind of peace. I mean, the school, the huge school, Eton, very fancy private school, has actually hired a full-time imam to work in the school to explain fundamentalist Islam and just, you know, ordinary Islam to their students, because they feel that their students, if they graduate without understanding Islam,
isn't he also
will be
there
ill-equipped.
To explain to the Muslim kids why they have to wear the little navy jackets?
That could be true. I did notice last week that Canada is now going to start trying some cases under Sharia, the Islamic law, instead of its court system. I mean, there are countries who are trying to take steps.
Right. I think it's a little bit of a call to arms on behalf of the Pope. It's a little disturbing, isn't it?
I think it's disturbing. But
well,
you know, perhaps if you are an active practicing Christian, I don't know whether you see it as disturbing or not. I think that there has to be a way to acknowledge diversity kind of within Europe. I mean, people should be free to be Christian. They should be free to be practicing Muslims. You cannot enshrine Christianity in the constitution of the European Union.
Or in this world today, necessarily, as being the only thing available. You have to embrace diversity.
Or,
absolutely right.
Is this a not-so-subtle message to the Turks? Is this really saying to the Turks, look, you're
Muslims.
Not getting in,
oh, I
period.
Don't know. I wonder,
well, the
I
Pope won't have any say on whether the Turkey can come into the European
Union.
Oh,
no, no, I know
but,
I'm not saying
but,
that
you know,
directly.
Turkey is a secular state, and they have you know, a very kind of finely balanced, and they're actually quite proud of how that country manages its Muslim population and other religious diversity.
Mm-hmm.
Stick around. The presidential day planner is still to come. Plus, all you need to know about Joe Wilson's new book when we return here on Air America Radio.
Today at 5, Channel 7 Eyewitness News just found a drastic new way to treat earaches in kids. Don't! Parents, you gotta be all ears for this. Plus at 5, Eyewitness News shows you where to find the freshest flowers for Mother's Day. Plus at 6, how to get a free education for a new job. The city pays for it, no strings attached. Eyewitness News uncovers a golden opportunity most people don't even know about. It all starts with Diana Williams, Sade Veteranois, and Sam Champion with AccuWitness. Today at 5, only on ABC 7.
An all-new Oprah, an exclusive, Brad Pitt.
Rarely a week goes by, you know, where you are not into Cowboys.
Please bring Ben and J-Lo back.
You know I adore your wife.
It's that fire we all crowd around to warm.
What's going to happen when you have babies? I read that you would love having all girls.
I like girls. You wouldn't want to spend the hour with Brad. Next Oprah.
Today at 4, only on ABC 7, followed by Eyewitness News at 5.
You're listening to 1190 WLIV New York, the flagship station of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning, I'm Mark Shearer. The abuse of prisoners in Iraq continues to make waves around the world. The allegations surfacing in an army report are leading to investigations and reprimands. The Brigadier General in charge of the prison where the abuses took place says she suspects it was encouraged by military intelligence officials. Today's New York Times says the army report on the matter singles out two military intelligence officers and two contractors for the army. But Brigadier General Mark Kimmett, interviewed by CNN, says individuals should be the focus of the investigation.
Well, I don't know if we should be focusing on specific organizations as much as individual conduct that we saw in those photos. I'm not sure what organization those people were from, but I can tell you that what they were doing in those photos is absolutely wrong, deplorable, and they should be investigated and prosecuted.
Thomas Hamill is in Germany. The truck driver kidnapped 3 weeks ago in Iraq escaped from his Iraqi captors Sunday by prying open a door at a house where he's being held. He'll go to a military hospital in Germany where he'll be examined and he'll be reunited with his wife from Macon, Mississippi. Hamill was a truck driver employed by a subsidiary of the Halliburton Company. Police in Turkey say they have foiled a bomb plot. They've arrested 16 suspects they say are linked to Al-Qaeda. The police in Turkey say they were planning a bomb attack during a NATO meeting in June that President Bush is expected to attend.
American officials are said to be putting the finishing touches on a new plan for democratic reform in the Middle East. That's according to a report in today's L.A. Times. An earlier effort met with criticism, largely over the Bush administration's failure to consult with Middle Eastern nations. And now the government is completing its retooled plan with more input from the Muslim world to show that the U.S. does not want to unilaterally force reform. Senior citizens can start signing up today for new Medicare drug discount cards. The Bush administration says the cards can save them up to 17% on some name brand prescriptions and 30% on generics. But critics say the prices would still be better if they were allowed to buy from pharmacies in Canada. They're just not going to take it anymore, Senate Democrats, that is. Since being shut out of congressional negotiations on Medicare and other important bills last year, they're blocking House-Senate negotiations on other bills unless they're guaranteed a voice in writing the final legislation. Today's New York Times says the paralysis almost caused a partial shutdown of the Transportation Department last week. Democrats say Republicans have been unfair in shutting them out, but Republicans say the Democrats need to accept that they're a minority in the government. President Bush hits the road for 2 days of campaigning in Ohio and Michigan by bus, and Senator Kerry tells the Wall Street Journal today that he is a business-friendly moderate who is lining up advisors like Steven Jobs and Warren Buffett. This is Air America Radio News.
When allergies come with sinus pain, my Claritin just doesn't have it.
My Benadryl doesn't have it either.
Even my prescription allergy medicines don't have it.
Only Advil Allergy Sinus has it. It's the first and only allergy medicine with the pain-relieving power of Advil. So you get allergy relief plus advanced medicine for sinus pain. That's two-way relief.
Now I know what all the others are missing. Advil for my sinus pain.
Advil Allergy Sinus. Don't just stop allergies that hurt.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies.
Mm-hmm.
Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy rewards program subject to eligibility.
Planet check.
Laptop lunches take a bite out of waste.
The whole thought behind our product is to get people to start packing waste-free lunches, and the trend right now is prepackaged food.
That's Tammy Pelstring, CEO of Obentech Incorporated.
On average, a child who takes a disposable lunch to school generates 67 pounds of waste. We're talking millions of pounds of waste are being generated.
Laptop lunches are inspired by the design of the Japanese bento box.
So our idea with our product is to try to get parents packing lunches again. In order to do that, we wanted to provide them with the tools to do that more conveniently and do it in a way that has style so the kids think it's fun. On the back door, preventing all that trash and plastic bags and foil and all of that from going to the landfills. Laptop lunches, tools to eat smart.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to tadmail.com, where environmentally conscious Americans get their internet access for free. Tadmail.com, helping people and the planet.
Randy Rhodes.
I came from a family in a middle-class neighborhood. I'm from Canarsie, and there was no future for me, just like there's no future for a lot of people. And if you're going to sit here and go, they're stupid, am I stupid? Do I choose not to learn? Do I not re-educate myself every single day on the current events as they unfold? We aren't stupid. We just didn't have the options.
Randy Rhodes, afternoons 3 to 7 on Air America Radio.
Right now, it's 6 minutes past the hour. I'm Mark Maron here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott on Air America Radio. And this is Morning Sedition.
Today, we'll tell you what the day holds for President Bush and for all you good liberals out there. Plus, what Joe Wilson has to say now that his book is naming names. That's all coming up. And right now, I'm joined by Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. Good morning. It's Monday morning still.
Yo, you have to remind us every hour.
Yeah. Good morning.
It's a good Monday morning. It's all good.
It's good outside from the world is ending around us. But right here in the studio, everything's okay.
Everything's cool.
We got an interesting email. You can email us at sedition@airamericaradio.com from Nick in Japan. Abu Ghraib, is that how you pronounce it?
Mm-hmm.
Prison doesn't need soldiers and prisoners. It needs a bulldozer, some priests, imams, rabbis.
Imams.
It needs an exorcism. That place is seriously evil, and it brings out the worst in all people, Iraqis, Baathists, and Americans. The Iraqis were forced to torture their families in that place. Our guys have been under the worst stress there for over 1 year in horrible conditions. Our guys and gals are snapping. We need to fix them before they get back. Interesting.
Well, you know, Nick makes a very, very interesting point. It's almost like he wants to, what do they call it? Feng shui, the whole thing?
Well, I believe, I'm a complete believer in all that weird mystical sort of, you know, structures having, you know, histories and being haunted. No doubt about it. And I think it's very interesting that, you know, that there's this outcry in the Arab world about, you know, this torture. Yet, you know, people were being tortured there for years under Hussein, and there was no, you know, outcry in the Arab world. It's almost as if, like, you know, well, that's Arab on Arab torture.
Torture, yeah.
So, you know, you can't come into our house and do that kind of stuff. I mean, that was, you know, when it's in-house, it's different.
Well, you know, it may well be that several of the rebellions that have taken place over the last 20, 30 years against Saddam Hussein, specifically by the Shiites, and remember that these were rebellions that Saddam reportedly put down using some of those weapons of mass destruction and some of the biological weapons. Maybe they were in response to some of these reports about torture.
But it is different, isn't it? Because the torture that took place under Saddam Hussein is rather like torture that took place under Nazi dictator Adolf Hitler, that you know, things were hushed up, people didn't dare speak out, people were intimidated.
But not just in Iraq, I'm talking about the entire Arab world.
There was not any elements of genocide, there was no kind of media outlet for anybody to feel safe or reporting this stuff, and the American military and the British military should know better.
Yep.
It shouldn't just be that they're snapping, as the person who sent the email said. I mean, they have to behave in a smarter way that's beyond reproach. I'm sorry, those are the standards that you set for yourself when you go in and you claim that you're going to be liberating a country and setting up democracy.
But you know what? I've been to a prison, the most famous prison in Haiti, back when Jean-Bertrand Aristide was first inaugurated. And, you know, there was the people that were coming to celebrate the inauguration went past this prison, and they refused to set foot in any of the cell blocks because they were so afraid that there was some bad karma that was going to come out of that. That you know, there had been all this violence. You could still see bloodstains on the walls where people were lined up and shot. And they approached it very, very cautiously, I think for the same reasons that emailer mentioned.
I feel the same way about the Comedy Store in Los Angeles. I mean, there are just some places that are haunted. And what I was saying before, Sue, was not about
Iraqi. We could exercise Iraqi. The Comedy Store.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, right.
Good luck. You ever been there?
No.
All right. Read my book.
Uh-oh.
But the thing I was saying is not just about Iraqi. Obviously, the Iraqi people could not, you know, rise up against Hussein because of his torturing and his ways. But, you know, the Arab world didn't either. And now the Arab world seems a little unified about being, you know, incredibly reactionary and critical to us, as they should be. But, you know, torture goes on in that world all the time.
But that speaks to the missed opportunity, doesn't it, of the coalition forces and of the administration to a failed opportunity to that they managed to have turned, you know, they've united Sunnis and Shias against the Americans, and then you have, you know, Saudi Arabia, you have, you know, that terrible terrorist attack where the Westerners fleeing as a terrorist, Saudi terrorist killed 6 people over the weekend.
Well, Westerners are being told to flee from Saudi Arabia. If that stuff goes down, the whole thing's going to go up, man. I mean, it's going crazy there.
And that's very serious. I mean, that level of audacity, and that people kind of pulling out, the fact that you have the Al-Qaeda kind of daring to use these new tactics and
this was a broad
uniting.
Daylight,
this was Sunday.
I'll tell you, it's an incredible thing that the Bush administration has declared war on terrorism, because they're certainly guaranteeing that it will be around for a long time in a very extreme way.
I agree. And I think that Bush himself You know, certainly when it comes to the idea of condemning the torture, he's gone that far, and maybe that's as far as we should expect him to go, to say, look, it's not good. And, of course, there are the usual caveats. And I think we do have a little piece of our president speaking this past Friday.
I didn't like it one bit. But I also want to remind people that those few people who did that do not reflect the nature of the men and women we sent overseas.
Can we go right to the joke now, Chris? The first joke?
There are a lot of Iraqis that have daily contact with our forces, and they get to know the character and the compassion.
No, that's not the joke. No, that's cool, though, because
they probably understand this is an aberration. Not that it won't be used against the United States of America. Certainly it will.
That was the chair of the Joint Chiefs, Richard Myers.
Yeah.
And he's saying, essentially, that it's an aberration, it's not widespread. But then further on in that same interview, he said that he couldn't guarantee that the problem that created this torture was not systemic.
That's right, yeah. Commission or omission is what I heard a general on CNN say, that, you know, that this stuff goes on and it's clearly systemic, but whether or not it was, you know, ordered is the big weird loophole.
Well, you know, the CIA guy we talked to was kind of circumspect about saying that the agency might have had anything to do with egging these people on. He wouldn't come out and say that.
Who said this?
Bob Dare, who we spoke to earlier. He wouldn't say that. He wouldn't, in fact, say it. Because I asked him.
About giving orders?
About whether or not the CIA and whether or not agents, military intelligence, were, in fact, partly responsible for egging these non-coms into committing this kind of abuse.
Well, he's saying that, for him, the jury's still out in terms of, you know, who actually instigated this, whether it was the contractors or whether it was actually military. What did John Kerry have to say about it?
Haven't heard him.
I haven't heard of him.
But here's what I did. Here's something I want to read you because it's so incendiary. It's a quote from somebody in a bar down in West Virginia, the same town where Lindy England, who's one of the U.S. military police officers,
the one facing smiling court martial. On the buttocks
yeah, she's got,
of
she's,
the
she's
Iraqi
got the
pyramid.
Cigarette in her mouth and she's pointing to, you know, naked Iraqi prisoners. Here's somebody who's trying to explain the nature of racism that allows this kind of thing to happen. To the country boys here, and she's talking about West Virginia, if you're a different nationality, a different race, you're subhuman. That's the way girls like Lindy are raised. Tormenting Iraqis in her mind would be no different from shooting a turkey. Every season here, you're hunting something. Over there, they're hunting Iraqis.
Now she's talking about her own daughter, right?
No, that was a friend of hers, actually.
Oh, friend.
No, her mother. Her mother just said that they were doing stupid kid things, and it was just a bunch of pranks.
Friend?
I don't think it's a friend. It's someone interviewed by British reporters in Ashby, West Virginia.
Well, clearly there are those type of people in the military. There are those type of people in society, and if that's the way she is, then it makes sense, this behavior. But it's still pretty heinous that, you know, it could go to that degree where, you know, you have people, it almost would create a party atmosphere in the torture chambers. I guarantee you there was a bottle of Jack Daniel's somewhere behind that pyramid of Iraqis.
And, you know, we also ought to be concerned about this story regarding General Jassim Muhammad Saleh, who was a former general. As a matter of fact, I think I read somewhere he was part of the Republican Guards under Saddam Hussein, and he was supposed to be the person that took charge in Fallujah.
Yeah.
And, you know, the American military objective, of course, in Fallujah is to get the, quote, insurgents to disarm.
Right.
And they've long alleged, the American military, that there have been foreign fighters that have been involved in certainly picking off Americans inside Fallujah. Well, General Saleh said there were no foreign fighters inside of Fallujah, so apparently they've dumped him. General Richard Myers, the chair of the Joint Chiefs, now says that Saleh will not be the person that will lead the Iraqi security force.
This was an ex-Ba'athist general, right?
Yes.
And they were going to use them because they'd sort of run out of options or alternatives in a way to harness a situation that's out of their control because they didn't prepare properly, right?
Yes.
So they interviewed this guy. They did a sort of background check on him, and he was unable to play along with them.
Sort of, yeah.
Is that he was not willing to claim that there was anybody other than Iraqis in Fallujah?
Yeah, well, fighting, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that there wasn't this huge presence of foreign fighters, which America had been saying all along was there, and one of the pretexts they were going to use to invade the city.
It's an amazing, amazing concession that, you know, that the military isn't that much of a problem that they have to, you know, sort of defer to ex-Baptist generals to run their military.
Oh, it's just one problem. The fact that they are apparently allegedly torturing to get intelligence out of people shows how their intelligence system is flawed. How decent intelligence are you going to get from people being tortured?
Still ahead, presidential day planner, Kerry Ives VPs, and more right here on Air America Radio.
Can you take me to Supercuts?
Excuse me? Since when do you care what you look like?
Seriously, Mom, I need a haircut.
Is it a girl? Oh, my Lord, you're already into girls. My little boy's growing up. Oh, soon you'll be in college.
Mom, I'm 7.
And then you'll marry this girl, who we haven't even met yet, and be a big corporate executive. Oh, you look so good in a suit.
Are you going to take me to Supercuts, or should I call a cab?
And you'll be bringing the grandkids on the
way. Let's face it, your kids are growing up whether you like it or not. That's why Supercuts promises to give them a look you'll both love, usually quicker than it takes to get them to brush their teeth.
Dad, can you take me to Supercuts?
Supercuts? Jeez, where's the time gone? I mean, you were just a little baby, and now you're in school, growing hair.
Supercuts. We know how it is.
With over 1,700 locations, it's never been more convenient to let Supercuts take care of you and your hair. Call 1-800-SUPERCUTS or log on to supercuts.com for a location nearest you. And while you're there, check out the latest episode of The Mop Squad.
An XM satellite radio listener gets commercial-free music day one.
Spend time listening to all of XM's music channels today, especially jazz and hip-hop. Not a single commercial break, so I couldn't call my girlfriend Allison.
Allison versus XM, day two.
Woke up with head on table next to XM radio. Ears felt good, but neck was a little stiff. Spent 12 straight hours listening to commercial-free punk rock channel. Forgot to call Allison again. We'll send flowers tomorrow.
XM 1, Allison 0, day 6.
4 voicemails from Allison. We'll call her back after Springsteen Marathon.
I'm rooting for you, Allison. Day 12.
Allison called, said if I'm not dead, we're through. We'll call her back just as soon as they break for a commercial.
Don't hold your breath, Allison, because all of XM's music channels are 100% commercial-free. And this year, you get over 120 digital channels of music, news, sports, and talk. Check it out at stores like Best Buy and Circuit City. XM Satellite Radio. Required monthly subscription and hardware sold separately. Activation fee applies.
At the age of 20, I was in a chemical explosion that left me blind for 31 years.
Thanks to a cornea transplant, John was able to see his wife for the first time in 31 years, and his children for the first time ever.
I looked across and my wife's face was very clear. I told her, I'd like you to know that I can see you now. And I really want you to know, Nita, that the years have been very kind to you. I approached my children and I couldn't say anything. Not a word. All I could do was hold my children. It was totally amazing to see these people. For the first time in my life, I was looking at my children. And at that time, I just simply folded up my folding cane and put it in my back pocket, and I never had to use it since.
You have the power to donate life. Be an organ and tissue donor. To find out how, go today to www.donatelife.net.
Good morning. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott on Air America Radio's Morning Sedition. 20 past the hour. Now it's time for our exclusive peek in today's Presidential Day Planner. Take this right off the WhiteHouse.gov. This is the day the president has before him. 8 a.m. Wake up. Escort National Security Advisor to Taxi Cab 1. 8:07. Curse our forbidden love. 10 a.m. Strategy meeting with Karl Rove. Topic, what else can we blame on Clinton? 11 p.m., prepare for bus trip to the Midwest. Call shotgun. 2 p.m., prep for photo op. Practice helpless down-home stutter. 6 p.m., stay on message. Flip-flopper, blah, blah, blah. Terror alert, blah, blah, blah. I didn't do it. I don't have to apologize for anything. You know this. 9 p.m., shred embarrassing documents, national security memos, planning reports, high school transcripts. 1 a.m., invoke executive privilege, review torture photos from Iraq. 1:03 a.m., fall into deep, untroubled sleep.
Untroubled.
It's a late night for the press.
Yeah, it sure is.
Yes.
Is he usually in bed by 10?
I wonder when he does go to bed. He seems like one of those guys that probably goes.
But it was a 10:30 guy.
Right, might well be.
10:30.
At least he's not 6:30 like us. But you know, there was something I meant to ask you about the presidential day planner.
Yes, sir.
Have you noticed how Bush kind of uses his various cabinet people, like a coach uses, a substitute player in sports? 1 week, Condoleezza Rice is all over the place. Then they pull her back. The next week, it's Dick Cheney's all over the place. Then they pull him back. The week after that, it's Colin Powell. He's out there. Then they pull him back. This past weekend, it was Myers, the chair of the Joint Chiefs. Then they'll pull him back. And the reason why I noticed this was because the whole thing about the taxi cab one. Because this is Condi's off week, I assume.
Right. Well, that's an interesting thing, because I think that in the minds of Americans, if somebody's not in the spotlight, it's not that important anymore. So if you get as many people as possible to kind of go out and do your bidding in a fragmented sort of way, it becomes very hard to place blame directly on anybody. And which is also what's happening, I think, in terms of this torture situation, in terms of, like, you know, is it, you know, was it systematic? Well, ultimately, it's going to be very hard to pin on the higher-ups because of that same system of operation.
And it's a kind of cover. You can have someone doing something very high-profile, like Cheney coming out last week as the attack dog against Kerry. He was, like, the designated hitman at the same time that Colin Powell was actually off hitting countries in Europe trying to drum up support for NATO troops to, you know, beef up the U.S. presence in Iraq. No one really noticed that.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
He wasn't successful, was he?
Not very. Although in Europe, they call him the wise weak man.
Who is this?
Colin Powell.
Colin Powell.
I'm sorry, I drifted at the beginning of that topic.
The Secretary of State.
So that's a very interesting thing, that he's so good at diverting sort of attention, and also even on a personal level with these jokes at the correspondence dinner, he's very good at diverting people's attention from the fact that he's responsible for anything. He should be held responsible for everything.
But see, now the question is, who's going to be the next one? Cheney spent last week dogging Kerry, so who's going to be the next one? Nobody really knows yet which person this week will be out in the spotlight hammering, because it's not going to be Bush. We know that now. He'll deal with the, you know, the gravity of the situation, with the torture and the rest of that. But one of his people will be sent out to attack John Kerry all week, because apparently they feel that this strategy, which they've been using for the last few weeks, which is, you know, no matter what happens in Iraq, attack John Kerry, has worked.
Maybe they'll sick his wife on him.
But this is the week that Kerry is supposed to be launching new ads based on his life. Well, so maybe they're hoping that, you know, Kerry will just be uncharismatic in his ads and he'll do himself harm, and they can just back off and rest up for a week.
I'll tell you, man, I'm getting a little mad at the fact that he's not, you know, speaking out on certain issues that are right now. Why hasn't he commented on the torture? Why hasn't he commented on any of this stuff? When are we going to find out who his vice president choice is going to be? You were saying on the break, you hope it's not Dick Gephardt. Because you think that'd be a curse, right?
I think he'd be cursed. I think he might as well. You can mail in the results of the presidential election.
Why? Just because is Dick not unlike a cursed building? He's just a cursed candidate.
He's a candidate that cannot get 5 votes outside of his congressional.
It's district. Weird because he looks like he could do the job. It's not that he's unqualified.
He has a very strong, or at least everybody thought he had a very strong base of support among unions. And what happened? They went out to the union states during the primaries, and he did not. Nothing.
They were like, Dick who?
Who? No, sorry. We didn't endorse him. It was somebody else.
Edwards? He doesn't come across telegenically. He doesn't.
Edwards
he's too pale.
Well.
People like John Edwards just because he's good looking. I mean,
he's good looking.
That really helps. And he's kind of charismatic, and he has a way of connecting with people that John Kerry doesn't.
Well,
so
I think the repetition of the my dad worked at a mill thing. I think the repetition of that really sort of stuck with people. It's like, he's one of ours. But he is a defense attorney, isn't he? I mean, isn't that what he does for a living? Isn't he?
They said he was a, they, some people tried to accuse him of being an ambulance chaser. There was no real. But do you know who Paul Mooney is?
No, I guess I was just corrected. He's on the other side. He's a company sewer.
Okay.
He stands for the working man.
A litigator. Do you know who Paul Mooney is? Right?
Of course I know who Paul Mooney is.
Well, Paul Mooney was here, I think, the end of last week.
Paul Mooney?
Yeah. Now, you know what he did. He said that Kerry is doomed.
Oh, yeah?
You know why he said
why?
That? Because Americans won't vote for a man who looks that much like Frankenstein.
Oh, come on.
Nah, look, I didn't say it.
Well, there's a substantial comment.
A man of substance, Paul Mooney. Right.
I'm glad I didn't meet him.
He's a comic.
He's
been around forever. I used to watch him do the late night spots at the Comedy Store. Everyone used to go watch Paul Mooney gather around at the feet of Mooney, because he'd go on really late, and he's been going. Well, he was like the guy who closed down the shop at the Comedy Store when I was there, and everybody used to hang out. Kennison, everybody used to watch Mooney, because he has this incredible momentum You know, yeah. I middled for him once in Sacramento.
Really?
Yeah, the dude will do like 3 hours.
Three hours?
I mean, you know, and whatever you think of Paul Mooney, he definitely, he'll stay up there until you hate him.
Yeah.
Or until you love him.
But, you know, we've been talking about John Kerry and the whole electability thing, and is he making the right moves? So there was a front page piece in yesterday's New York Times that articulated a lot of the concerns, particularly that listeners have called here and said about whether or not he really has all 4 feet on the ground. He does not yet have, for example, a field operation in Ohio, which is a key battleground state, and Bush apparently has had a field operation there for months now.
Yeah, if you read the New York Times Magazine 2 weekends ago, he's had these field operations and just thousands of volunteers and everything literally nailed down to what they can say, what they can't say, like micromanage the volunteer operation through all the battleground states. For months and months and months and months and months.
They're doing a door-to-door thing. I mean, they're doing it. I guess it was
so
that
organized.
Article was about how they broke. They're almost like an Amway. It's almost like
absolutely.
A pyramid screen in terms of how they're managing and micromanaging the
and
the
then
campaign.
You have to look at, you know, where Kerry is now, which is making the transition to national candidate from you know, winning the states, that he seems behind. And
they need a couple of good punchlines, I guess. They're lacking a tagline, a through line, a real message wrap their campaign around.
They need a vision, and they also need...
In lieu of a vision, we'll settle for a line.
He also needs to be active and not reactive. He can't react to everything that... Lately, for the last 2 weeks, he's reacted to Bush's attacks. He's really got to get out, and I mean not just get out in front on attacking Bush, but get out in front in articulating a vision, which I don't think he's done for most Americans. I think there are people that see it, but not enough people.
I saw him over the weekend, and, you know, I thought he had a little more juice than I had heard that he had. You know what I mean? Like when I've seen him in reacting to criticisms of his war record and stuff, I mean, he's not uncharismatic or not standing up for himself. I mean, the guy's got a little fury going.
Well, let's hope it carries a little further than it's carried thus far. Still ahead, we've got the liberal agenda, and we'll find out what Joe Wilson is saying now that his book is out, Naming Names, right here on Air America Radio.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep, the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air, or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You'll also get a free better sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Mark Shearer. The truck driver kidnapped in Iraq 3 weeks ago is on his way home. Thomas Hamill escaped on Sunday. He has landed in Germany, where he'll be treated for a gunshot wound. American officials are taking a closer look at the Iraqi general they put in charge of the brigade looking after the city of Fallujah. One report says it is now likely they will remove him from the post because of his record under Saddam Hussein. President Bush is getting on the bus today. He's going to be campaigning in the key states of Ohio and Michigan. He'll be on board a bus decorated with the slogan, Yes, America Can. Senator John Kerry tells the Wall Street Journal today that he is a business-friendly moderate who's lining up advisors like investment guru Warren Buffett and Apple and iPod mogul Steve Jobs. And a new study says obese kids are more likely to get picked on by their peers and more likely to become bullies themselves. A Canadian study in the May edition of Pediatrics says overweight boys are more than twice than likely than thinner boys to make fun of others.
Imagine if stars fell from the sky.
Imagine if there are no bombs.
Imagine there's no heaven.
Imagine if everybody was happy.
It's easy if you try.
Imagine if everyone would live in peace and harmony.
No hell below us.
Imagine if there were no borders.
Imagine a worldwide movement that works to protect the dignity and rights of every man, woman, and child.
Imagine all the people.
And imagine it works. That's Amnesty International. Join the millions around the globe who support basic human rights. Call 1-800-AMNESTY or visit amnestyusa.org, and the world will live as one.
In this corner, weighing several tons, the challenger, your house! And in the red corner, weighing next to nothing, the undisputed champion of the world, Wildfire!
Think your house can win the fight? Visit firewise.org to find out how you can help make your home more defensible against wildfires. Firewise.org, a public service brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
The O'Franken Factor.
Rush, who got out by...
because of his cyst.
Polynidal cyst. He has lied about it. He said he got out by a football knee. He said he did nothing to get out of the draft except for bring a letter to the doctor.
Air America's Al Franken.
His father had a polynidal cyst and did fight in World War II. And now, of course, he is railing and railing on Kerry about lack of patriotism.
Al Franken and Catherine Lanfer, weekdays noon to 3 on Air America Radio.
Good morning, Mark Maron here on Air America's Morning Sedition with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley. It's Monday. And we are going to be talking now with our buddy Joe Connison with today's Salon.com story. Joe Connison, of course, is the author of the book Big Lies, a very informative book. And today he's going to be talking about a piece he wrote in Salon about Joe Wilson's new book. Joe Wilson, we will be having on later in the week, but I guess we're going to get a pre-Joe Wilson information briefing from Joe Connison. How are you, sir? Good morning.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
It's good to hear you, man. It's a little later for you.
It's better.
So,
it's better.
I'm glad. I'm glad. Yeah, because sometimes we call
I'm happy to be with you anytime. But
can I ask you a question, Joe? Sometimes when we call, are you whispering so you don't wake someone up?
My wife is often asleep at the hour of 6:30.
I knew it. I knew it. All right, so one of the biggest revelations in Joe Wilson's new book is who he thinks was behind the conspiracy against him and his wife. What did you get from him? What did he tell you?
Well, in the book, he discusses several people associated with Vice President Cheney's office, including, of course, Lewis Scooter Libby, the chief of staff to the vice president, a man named John Hanna, who's a Middle East affairs expert who works for the vice president, someone named David Wormser, who works in the State Department under one of the more extreme right-wingers in the State Department, John Bolton, who's an undersecretary of state. And he also mentioned Elliot Abrams of Iran-Contra infamy.
Right. No reason to question that guy or Scooter Libby. They have such integrity as people.
Yeah. So, but he says, in essence, he says his sources in the government have told him these people were involved. And he, Wilson told me he has checked this out with a lot of different people who've spoken to him. You know, this is somebody who was in the government for more than 20 years.
A Republican operative.
He comes from a Republican family. His family in California been there for, 100 years or something, and included a mayor and a governor of California who was his uncle. He had an auntie, told me, who they referred to as Mrs. John Birch. You know, Joe Wilson is not a right-winger.
Wait a minute, he's related to Pete Wilson?
No, he's not related to Pete Wilson. Oh, well, maybe he is, but that wasn't the governor he was talking about. This is a governor, a guy who was governor before Joe Wilson was born, but he was a relative of his. Anyway, he did come from a Republican family, and he respects moderate Republicans, worked with them for many years in government, was highly praised by this president's father when the first George Bush was president, because Wilson worked in Baghdad. He was the deputy chief of mission in Baghdad, which is the number two position in an embassy. And when the ambassador was not there and the first Gulf War began, and it fell to him to protect our nationals there, keep the mission open and functioning, and basically to confront Saddam Hussein over what was going on in Kuwait.
And he was rewarded. He was like he was a respected guy under Bush 1.
He was an exceptionally respected diplomat. There's just no question about it. And was received in the White House as a hero when he came back. He was embraced by Mrs. Bush, he says in the book.
A mixed blessing.
A mixed, yes. What other reward might he have had? I don't know. But he has a letter from First President Bush which praises his courage and his heroism. And if you read the book, by the way, the whole book is not about the exposure of his wife. It's a big book. It's a memoir of his life as a diplomat, and it includes quite a bit of fascinating stuff about things he's done in Africa and around the world.
Now, Joe, it seems like he was lauded and lionized right up until they asked him to go to Niger and find out about this whole yellow cake thing, which, of course, is this enriched uranium that Saddam Hussein was reportedly interested in buying from either the Niger government or someone connected with the Niger government, which turned out to be a total falsehood. But I got to ask you, people are focusing on Scooter Libby and this one. How come nobody's focusing on Robert Novak? Novak was the one who, I assume, knew that publicizing Joe Wilson's wife's name was a violation of law, yet he did it anyway, and nobody's saying Novak should be held accountable here.
Well, you know, Mark,
Is Robert Novak deflecting criticism with his new teeth?
No, Novak. Those caps will do a lot for you. Novak, I think, would say he didn't know that he was violating the law. He technically didn't violate the law or something like that.
But since when isn't it lack of knowledge any kind of offense? It doesn't work for traffic offenses.
Well, Sue, Novak would certainly not accept that type of excuse coming from anybody else, especially a political opponent of his. So you're right about that. But he's always been kind of a hypocrite. Wilson really nails him pretty hard in this book. There's a point where Novak is sort of wandering around the street before the story comes out, and somebody that Wilson knows happens to fall into conversation with him on the street. He recognizes him and says, "Oh, you're Mr. Novak. What do you think about this Niger uranium thing?" And Novak not only denounces Wilson in a conversation just on the sidewalk, but tells a total stranger that Wilson's wife is a CIA agent. This Wilson immediately calls up a CNN executive that he knows who he worked with in Baghdad and says, what the hell, that's not the word he uses, is going on here? And, of course, the CNN people don't do anything. And Novak, as Wilson said to me and says in the book, how many other people did Novak just, broadcast this information to? This is classified information, dangerous to his wife, dangerous to people that she might have worked with overseas in trying to stop the spread of weapons of mass destruction, because ironically that was her job. She was somebody at CIA who had a very distinguished career there, trying to stop rogue states and terrorists from getting a hold of materials that could help them to build nuclear weapons, for instance. That was what she did.
But Joe Connison, the issue is not really about kind of Robert Novak, because my understanding is he didn't actually commit a crime. The potential crime is that it's illegal for someone in the government, in the federal government, to leak the identity of a CIA official, namely Valerie Plame, Joe Wilson's wife. And what chances do we have of this really being investigated and anybody actually being busted for this?
It's conceivable that a journalist could commit a crime, Sue, under the Intelligence Identities Protection Act. It's not clear that Novak did in this case, because for one thing, it requires repeated violations, I think, for a journalist to be prosecuted for that.
But how about someone from the administration?
Well, those people, if they knowingly violated that law, and again, there's a question of intent.
Is the key word knowingly here, as with everything else?
Yeah, they have to have some criminal intent, but it's not hard to imagine that they did have criminal intent, frankly, because they were trying to punish a dissenter. I mean, this was a way of trying not only to hurt Joe Wilson, who they didn't like for exposing the Niger uranium fraud, but also for speaking out against the invasion of Iraq. But they also were seeking to intimidate other people in the intelligence community and the diplomatic community from speaking out. This was an early version of the tactics that were used against Richard Clark when he spoke out. The insinuations, if Clark's wife had a job, that they could have hurt her, and they would have done that too.
And how does Joe Wilson feel about this Bush as opposed to the last Bush that he had a tremendous amount of respect for?
He has very little regard for this president, among other reasons, very specifically because the president pretended, in Wilson's opinion, to be outraged by what happened to Valerie Plame, but in fact has done very little to enforce the investigation to try to get to the bottom of it. And Wilson's view is that this is not somebody who's worthy of respect because he pretends that he cares about what's happening in his government, particularly when things like this are done. But he doesn't really. He's a political opportunist. And I think Wilson contrasts that very strongly with Bush's father. Whether we agree with that or not, you know, I told him I wasn't as crazy about Bush 1 as he was. But I understand why he feels the way he does.
Right.
You know, Wilson served under that president and felt that he was treated well by him and that they agreed on many things.
Thanks a lot, Joe. Great
Thank
talking
you so much.
To you. Joe Connison with Salon.com Story of the Day. We're going to have Joe Wilson on later in the week. Stay tuned for the Liberal Agenda, and we're going to take your calls about racism in warfare. 866-303-AAR0. That's 866-303-2270. Sedition at AirAmericaRadio.com. Thanks for listening to Air America. We'll see you in a second.
It's night. You have heartburn. You want fast relief. Zantac works fast. When first used, Prilosec OTC works not so fast. Zantac works right when you need it.
Hello, relief.
Prilosec's label says it may take 1 to 4 days to fully work. So, what would you choose?
Estimated time of relief, 1 to 4 days.
Prilosec, nah. Zantac's for people who hate to wait, especially at night. Use as directed.
Federal college loan rates are currently lower than they have ever been, which means by refinancing now, you could cut your monthly student loan payment by up to 50%. By calling 1-800-2-COLLEGE, you'll quickly be connected to College Loan Corporation. We will answer your questions, help you lower your payments, and secure a rate as low as 2.63%. It's easy, it's free, and so far, over 300,000 people have called. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
His first pictures were supposed to be in his mother's arms. His first months were supposed to be at home. His first years weren't supposed to be such a worry. It's no one's fault. We did everything right. But still, our son was born 3 months premature, and no one knows why.
More than 460,000 babies are born premature each year, before 37 weeks of pregnancy. That's 1 in 8 of all births. Nearly half the time, there is no known cause. Many are born so soon and so small, they face serious lifelong health problems. Others don't survive the first year. Please support March of Dimes research so we can learn more about the causes of premature birth and how to prevent it. Visit marchofdimes.com or call 1-888-966-3222.
I just wish someone could tell me why.
Premature birth. The answers can't come soon enough.
Planet check. They shoot sea lions, don't they?
Chippy, the wayward sea lion, was found in the Central Valley near Los Banos by California Highway Patrol officers who, appropriately enough, dubbed him Chippy.
That's Jim Oswald from the Marine Mammal Center in Sausalito, California. Veterinarians found a large caliber bullet lodged in soft tissue behind his skull.
We see a lot of these patients come in with gunshot wounds, over 8% of them. And it's a really sad fact that humans can be so cruel to sea mammals.
Chip, chip, hooray! He's okay.
They went ahead about a week or so later and removed that bullet, and Chippy fared quite well.
With a clean bill of health, Chippy was released at Point Reyes National Seashore along with a tracking device.
It's about a 5-inch diameter square with an antenna. It's attached to Chippy's hair coat. The tracking device is going to be good for about 3 to 6 months or whenever Chippy actually molts.
Last year, the center treated 41 sea lions with bullet wounds. That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Circle of Life and We the Planet. www.circleoflife.org, where consciousness is cool.
Yeah.
6:45 past the hour. It's Monday morning. I'm Mark Maron with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley. We're taking your calls at 866-303-AAR0. That's 866-303-2270. We've been talking about the torture photos and the torture in Iraq by the reservists all morning, and we'd like to hear what you have to say in terms of, you know, here's some questions I'm throwing around. Is war inherently racist in many situations? Is racism encouraged in war? Are these acts of torture fueled by racism? Give us a call and let us know what you think about that. Right now it's time for the PDB, the Presidential Daily Briefing, that we get from the intelligence community every day. We've got a mole in there, and he sends it to us. This is the Presidential Daily Briefing for today, May 3rd. It's titled, President Bush Determined to Create More Terrorists Through Policies. Mr. President, certain pieces of intelligence of a deeply disturbing nature have come to our attention. According to unconfirmed reports, you, President George W. Bush, are planning to continue to enact your own domestic and foreign policies. If this is true, it could create an imminent threat that will foster terrorism by creating more terrorists. We tried to gather intelligence about you and your operations by reading newspapers and watching television news programs, but this turned out to be a trip down a blind alley. We currently have operatives in the field who are trying to gather further information about your plans. If it turns out that you are indeed a supporter of your own domestic and foreign programs, we urge you to do everything in your power to prevent yourself from going through with any of these plans. The consequences could be dire. Respectfully, Office of Homeland Security.
All right.
Wow, that was a pretty complicated one, a little twisty-turny.
I bet he's worried.
I'm sure he's got to be worried about himself, you know, doing what he wants to do. We've got Rossi in Old Bethpage. Where is that?
Good morning,
Long Island.
M&M team and Sue.
Oh, how it's that Rossi. How are you, buddy?
Great, great, great. You're doing a wonderful job.
Thank you, sir.
But I don't want to waste your time telling you that. You already know that.
Sometimes.
All right, racism. I don't know whether this would be racism, but 1968, March of 1968, in a little village called My Lai in Vietnam, they lined up people in a ditch, old women and old men and babies, and just massacred them.
Yes.
It wasn't brought out till 1969. They kept it under the hat. They didn't want too much known. And a Lieutenant Talley took the brunt of it. He was the scapegoat.
Right.
But it was orders sent down by generals.
Right. So it was systematic.
Yes. But let me go on.
Okay.
They took and wanted to know why this happened. So they had a psychiatrist and a psychologist come in, and they went around to each person that was involved in this My Lai massacre besides Lieutenant Talley.
Yes.
And they found out that it was more or less just a slice of America. There's a little bit of meanness in everyone.
Yes.
And
it takes war to bring it out.
I'm just hoping mine stays under wraps, generally.
I know, but listen, I'm a World War II veteran.
Yes.
And I was stationed in Italy.
Yes.
And the order came out that at night, if you saw any lights out, knock on the doors and put the lights out.
Right, if you saw any lights on.
And if there were any lights, make sure they were put out.
Right.
But these guys didn't knock on the doors. They went down with 50-caliber machine guns mounted on 6x6 and blew the lights out and killed everybody in sight.
That's right.
So go back to World War II. I mean, we're the forgotten. You know, there's only 6 million of us left. 1,000 or 1,100 a day we're dying. Let's mull that over. Thank you for letting me speak.
Thank you, Rossi. Always a pleasure to hear from you.
He does make a point in the
very quickly,
the distinction between the killing of civilians as atrocities and torturing of prisoners. I mean, I think there are degrees of unacceptable behavior, and the Vietnam question about atrocity was about atrocities against civilians. This is a bit different.
Yes.
Yes, Sue. Yes, okay.
No, but that's you're right coming from
here. Yes. Oh, I'm happy. All right.
Coming up after we leave for a second is the liberal agenda, so you're going to want to stay tuned for that right here on Air America Radio.
My company designs and builds offices for large corporations. After 10 years in business, I can handle just about any construction problem. But paying my bills on time, that's not always so easy.
Introducing the American Express Platinum Business Credit Card. It lets small business owners pay over time. There's no annual fee, plus you enjoy all the savings, services, and tools of Open, the Small Business Network. Apply now. Call 1-800-NOW-OPEN.
Paying over time? It helps me build my business.
Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply.
LendingTree.com presents 2 steps for controlling the home buying process. Step 1. Go to LendingTree.com and get up to 4 great mortgage offers within hours. Step 2. Stay at LendingTree.com and get up to 4 leading real estate agents within hours. So, to choose the mortgage and agent that's right for you, call 1-800-555-TREE or visit LendingTree.com. See website for details and state license disclosures. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions may apply.
An OnStar conversation, January 12, 2004.
OnStar Center, this is Barbara.
Barbara, I locked my keys in my car. My dog is in there.
Which vehicle is it that you need to get back into?
The 04 Yukon Denali.
Do you have your OnStar account number?
547.
When you've got precious cargo, it's good to know that OnStar can unlock your doors in most cases.
We should get it unlocked momentarily. What kind of dog do we have inside the vehicle?
It's a schnauzer.
All right. And your vehicle doors are now unlocked for you.
They are. You guys are fantastic. You're the best. You're the best. There is nothing like OnStar.
Well, thank you very much. We love hearing that.
You guys, it's unbelievable. I mean, in 2 seconds, it was done like that. I'm so happy.
I'm so glad that worked out for you. And how's our schnauzer?
He's okay. He's happy, too. Maybe we'll bring him to meet you. That's it.
Many GMC trucks and SUVs are among the 51 GM models available with OnStar. To learn more, visit your GMC dealer or GMC.com. OnStar. Always there. Always ready.
As a business leader, do you need more time to focus on your core business without ignoring your employees? GEM Human Resources is your solution. GEM HR will handle all of the human resource and safety outsourcing services that your organization needs. Payroll processing, benefit administration, HR compliance issues, OSHA safety administration, recruiting, and more. All at a cost that's less than you're paying today. With our team managing your human resource priorities, your team can focus on what's really important, your business. GEM HR combines state-of-the-art technology with experience professionals to efficiently develop, implement, and maintain your human resource needs. You'll increase your productivity and grow your business. Contact GEM HR today at 610-975-9995 or on the web at GEMHR.com. At GEM HR, we believe happy employees are your company's greatest asset.
Good morning, Monday morning. Mark Maron here on Morning Sedition here on Air America Radio. Sorry to the callers that we didn't get to about racism and warfare, but we had to take Rossi. He's one of 6 million World War II veterans that are still hanging on. And that voice, man, he's got the greatest voice.
He's got a great voice. I got to tell you, man, I agree with your original premise, Maron. The more I think about it, the more I believe that all war is racist.
Yeah, I mean, on some level, I don't see how it can't be. I mean, I think some people who reacted... it's an arguable point, but
sure,
they were making it specific. The other interesting thing.
How about
that
they just become racist when they go on too long and unsuccessfully, like this one? That they don't start out necessarily for racially motivated, but that when they don't work out the way that those who declared war intended, then the worst. The basis level of people's reactions, racism, come out. I think that could be.
That's this war, yeah. And I think the other thing we were talking about as far as off mic was that Kerry, you know, in reaction to this episode, I think he might be walking, you know, treading lightly because of his Vietnam past.
On eggshells, yeah.
You know, I also have a little game I want to play on the letter side. This is, Bush says the U.S. soldiers don't represent America, these ones that did this. Mm-hmm. But they sound a lot like... a little bit anyways, like Bush's old club at Yale, the Skull and Bones Club, which was sort of this dark, weird, not a fraternity, but a secret society with initiation rights. So let's play Skull and Bones, Iraqi Prisoners, if we could. Are you ready? Question 1. The victim is forced to stand in front of a room full of other men and recount his entire sexual history. Is that Skull and Bones or is that the Iraqi Prisoners?
Skull and Bones.
Good, okay. Question 2, the victim is handcuffed to a door, either naked or wearing women's underwear.
Skull and Bones.
No, that was the Iraqi prisoner.
I thought I was onto a joke here that was going to be all Skull and Bones.
Question 3, men dressed up like skeletons and devils scream at and shove the victim.
That's skull and bones.
Good question. Four. Victims forced to simulate sex with each other and forced to have photos taken with their tormentors naked and humiliated.
Iraqi prisoners.
Oddly, both.
That both?
One. No, I'm kidding. maybe not the most tasteful bit in the world, but far be it from me to do a distasteful joke occasionally.
Far be it from you.
So I don't know what's going to happen with Kerry and his running mate either. I'm just sort of doing an overview of the things we've been talking about.
How about the Wesley Clark possibility?
Yeah, I mean, I like Wesley Clark. I think that, you know, he was on TV last night. I guess they all seem to say the same thing, that I'm not considering that. I'm in the private sector.
Wait a
minute. As soon as somebody calls.
But he's a friend of the room. We haven't had John Edwards on here. We haven't had Dick Gephardt on
right.
here. But we have had Wesley Clark. Therefore, as a friend of the room, we should back him, right?
Yeah. I think, we should back Clark, you're saying.
We back the people that come on here with us.
That's right. And he was like one of our first guests, and he was a good guest. He was kind of, a little lighthearted even. He was funny.
That means that we could even back Hans Blix.
Blix would be a fine, interesting choice.
I'd make him an American citizen like Freddie Adu.
Yeah. He can't.
The dry button jacket. No, you just can't be president, but maybe you can be vice president. Or
no,
same
either.
Rule.
Yeah, same rule.
Oh, okay.
We
need
to do that.
How about Michael Stipe? Go for Michael Stipe.
Yeah, that'd be a good choice. You know what that is? That is the fax machine. We're getting the fax from the Streisand compound with our liberal agenda for today. So get your notebooks out. Here are your marching orders. One, break ground on the new UN sponsored civilian internment camps. Two, send soldiers into war with inferior weapons. Three, let airport security know that asking to remove facial piercings is a violation of the First Amendment and the ACLU will be contacted. 15 minutes later, contact ACLU, find out if being asked to remove facial piercings is a violation of the First Amendment. Five, go to Kabbalah class. Perhaps Madonna will be there. Not that you'd bother her. It'd just be nice to see her in person, wouldn't it? There you go. There are your orders for today. Five of them. We'll have more tomorrow. It's been great talking to you.
Do you use that on your answering machine, perhaps? It's been great talking to you?
Yeah, Larry. Sometimes, I don't know what I do on my answering machine, but I do get criticized for going on too long on other people's answering machines.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, you're one of those.
My brother's horrible at it. My brother will do like three. He'll leave three messages. I'll do one and forget that I'm, talking too long. But it was brought to my attention by my friend Dave recently. He said, I rank number three in the longest messages ever left on any of his answering devices.
He needs the 30-second limit machine.
Yes, he does.
We'll send him one.
He does.
They have 30-second limit machines?
Well, you can choose.
15, 10, Mark Maron, 5.
All right. Coming up on tomorrow's morning's edition, are you ready for the Stop Shopping Choir? Neither are we, but they'll be here. That's tomorrow's morning's edition here on Air America Radio.
Adios.
Weeds, like dandelion, clover, and hundreds of others, can stand between you and a thick green lawn. That's why Bayer Advanced created Triple Action Lawn Fertilizer Plus Weed Control. It does two jobs at once. It kills four times as many types of weeds as the leading brand, while it feeds at every level. The grass, the roots, plus it fortifies the soil for a thicker, deep-down green that lasts longer. Without the weeds, guaranteed. Bayer Advanced. Better thinking, better results. Available at Lowe's and other garden retailers.
Here's the 2-1. Swing it on one!
Hi, I'm Barry Bonds for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. In my league, we hit home runs without a designated hitter. But if you want to get home safe, there should always be a designated driver. So when you're with someone who is drinking, please take their keys. Call a cab or drive them home yourself, because friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to a...